All right, Joel Radio, how you doing, people out there in podcasting land, in radio land, in internet broadcasting land? Is that what you call it? I don't know.
Ohayou
gozaimasu. Welcome to the show.
Corey's throwing Japanese out.
He's throwing Japanese, and he ran out of Japanese words that he knows.
Mushi mushi. All right.
Two hellos. Somebody, two different types of hellos.
I think moshi moshi is for the phone.
Specifically
though,
for the phone.
Yeah, it's for the phone. Yeah. Corey Hall is here with me as always, and John Tenney joining us. Today.
There I am.
How you doing, John?
I'm all right. How you doing?
John has been hunting Bigfoot. We'll talk about that and other things.
This amazing, amazing thing happened.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
startling.
Find out all
startling,
about
shocking truth.
Let's introduce our guest properly. The five-time Tony Award winning decathlete, John Tenney.
Oh.
John's got so many different things.
You wear a lot of hats, John.
I do. I actually don't wear hats at all.
No, but if you did.
I'm one of those guys who, even though I'm going...
With that hairline, you should probably start.
Well, there's the thing. I'm one of the few guys that doesn't... Like, I'm going bald.
Okay.
Or I'm bald or whatever.
No, I'm bald.
But,
yeah, you're not. Are you the crown's balding?
This
right?
is all back here.
Yeah, but when you're balding in the back, it's not the same as balding in the
but
front.
But the thing is I've never worn a hat and I'm not going to.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
I hate people who are like, I take it as I'm aging.
Yeah.
It's, just,
sure.
it's a rite of passage.
Sure.
It's
okay.
like your blonde hair and your face.
What?
I don't know.
I don't have blonde hair.
Or your grayish hair.
Grayish. Okay,
yeah.
I'll take that.
We had a friend who wore a hat for years and would never take it off and was never seen without the
Peterson.
Hat. And then he just stopped one day.
Peterson?
And hasn't worn a hat since.
I've seen him three times in the past week.
There's a guy I know that does comedy, and he always wears a hat. And then one day we told him, take the hat. And we didn't know because he's a young guy.
Right.
And he took the hat off, and this guy was like super bald.
Yeah.
Like, you never saw a balder guy, and you go, you know, you got to put that back on.
Well, that's his trademark now, right?
I guess.
Stanley?
No. I'm talking about some other guy. I don't think you even know this
Another guy.
He's from out of town. But this guy just always wore a hat. And we're like, well, you're a young guy. What are you wearing that hat for? And he took his hat off, and he, like, instantly aged 30 years.
Don't you think that that's because, like, when guys start to lose their hair and they shave their head,
yeah.
within a couple years, it looks normal.
Sure.
Right?
I guess. I don't know.
So when someone's wearing a hat constantly.
It's delaying that shock of being bald. Yeah.
For sure.
I started balding like about 22, like hardcore. Like it really, so for me, I never had a moment.
You never had to.
So there was no, I couldn't, it was too late to cover it up by the time, you know, I was like, oh.
Well, you could become a hat guy if you wanted to. It's just a matter of, does the hat become a bigger pain in the ass? Than...
I wear a hat in the winter.
Sure,
but I'm not going to be sitting around in the summer sweating.
Yeah, but
hat.
You're not a guy that wears a hat all the time.
I get warm in hats too.
Well, there's guys who will like wear a hat in their house.
Oh yeah,
just walking around their house and sitting down there watching TV, they're eating dinner, they're wearing a hat.
When I was
like a bald cap.
When I started losing my hair significantly,
yeah,
I was working in the school system at a junior high.
Yeah,
and so I developed a thick skin immediately.
Right,
because kids, especially junior high school kids.
Yeah.
They just fucking let it out.
They'll
They're
see the one
the
thing that
oh,
they
yeah.
get you on.
Yep. Yeah. And so every day in the cafeteria, bald. Just,
bald.
Just that. Just
I
saying
would,
that.
See, I would never bald. Look at you and say bald. That's not even, well, doesn't come into the realm of.
Yeah, and I've known John a long time, and I remember his hair when it was magnificent.
Really?
I mean,
yeah.
John had, it was just a
we
beautiful
were just,
plume.
Yeah, he used to be an Adonis.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened?
Time.
Age.
Time. Age.
Well, I don't know, because you know, cause I think that like when I look at you, that's not the thing I think bald. I don't know what I think when I look at you. Maybe weird or something.
Love.
No,
when I look at you, I'm thinking eight ball in the corner pocket. Hey.
Hey.
Okay, thank you.
No, I just, you know, when I don't know. I think people look at me, maybe they see glasses or they see
right.
you know, fat guy or something. You know?
I've always felt.
And I'm not, I think some people have an identifiable characteristic, and you, bald,
see, that's why
is
I,
not would ever be one thing that I would associate
when you
with
speak
you.
About that, identifiable yeah. characteristics, mm-hmm. I've always felt that's why if I ever went to Hollywood
mm-hmm.
or gotten movies,
yeah.
I think that I could possibly succeed, because I think that aside from just a relatively larger nose,
uh-huh.
I could be anybody.
I understand that. Sure, you have that, yeah.
Like, when I tan, I can get super dark, grow a beard, and I'd look like I'm from the Middle East.
Okay.
I already do, and it's terrible.
Yeah. You look like the worst, scariest shawarma store owner.
Thank you. Well, you know, I mean, like, I like to...
If you didn't hear Corey... The problem with Corey is when you hear him talk, it's obvious who he is, and that you would have to... You know what I'm saying? Hear you speak in your own voice ruins the illusion that you could be
somebody else. It's not hard.
But Corey looks like he could be Jewish.
Yeah.
Arabic.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yugoslavian.
I know. A lot of.
Like,
a lot of swarthy races.
Yeah, he looks like he could be a stocky Greek man or something.
If I grow the beard out, I do look like an Arab, and it's not pleasant.
Any country, you look like you could be from any country that has a dirty mafia or a terrorist group.
Yeah. Right.
Russian, maybe.
Any place where they serve meat on a stick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Corey could be from there.
And I'm sure he'd want to go there.
Yeah.
Not so much.
No meat on a
stick. What about,
people have been going to Turkey lately, and they say Turkey's cool.
I might
go to Istanbul. That'd be
But Turkey is Europe, I guess. It's the border between
Europe and the Middle East.
I met Israeli guys. I camped with Israeli guys once when I was in England.
Mm-hmm.
And these Israeli guys, Israel's part of Europe. And they said it with a straight face. I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind, Israel's part of Europe. No, it's like Europe.
Well,
it's not compared to the Middle East.
I get what they're
saying, but it's not the goddamn,
It's not France.
It's not fucking Europe.
No, they say like...
But they say Turkey is Europe, which Turkey geographically is almost Europe. I mean, it's continent.
You know, they say Tel Aviv's like the French Riviera.
Well,
it's like the beach community of Israel.
Yeah.
Except you got to dodge fucking suicide bombers. But other than that...
Europe.
No, Turkey is about as Middle East as I'd go.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Anything else, forget
it. But you
it.
Wouldn't want to see. I would like to go to Dubai or something just to look at it.
Yeah, well, I have friends, I know you
can't hold hands with a woman or something in public in Dubai.
My former roommate from a long time ago is from Yemen.
Yeah.
And at one time, I really wanted to go to Yemen.
No.
Like, he showed me pictures, and this is 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was showing me pictures, and it was great. It was awesome looking. Now, I'm never going to Yemen.
Yeah, Yemen, forget about it now. Forget about Yemen.
I went to China, and that was as jacked up as I wanted. I mean, I really, when you get out in the provinces, it does get a little funky out there.
Okay.
And
But is China scary in that way that, Middle East would? Because I feel like in the Middle East.
In the country, it is, yeah.
Is it really? Okay.
I mean, in the cities, it's scary just because there's so many people.
Sure.
You just get overwhelmed by the
But are you afraid of the average Chinaman?
No, I'm not. But you know what I mean? No, I just
No, but they swarm you.
Do they?
I don't know. No, you just
John's like
Yeah, they do. They take it's numbers.
It's numbers. Okay, I get that.
No, when you if you turn a corner in Beijing by yourself, like just a lone American walking in thousands of Chinese just flooding by you. It's a little weird.
Is it?
It's not scary.
Right, because Mexico's scary.
Mexico's frightening.
I went to Mexico, and you could just disappear, and I just went to the border town. I went to, I think it was Matamoros, right on the
Texas border. Yeah, I went to a border town once and almost
and
died.
And it's
there.
Just I was in there trying to buy booze, and guys were trying to sell me switchblades, and there was some,
Yeah, there was a guy who led me down an alley to sell me cigarettes in Mexico.
China's like that in that the word copyright protection means nothing.
Okay,
so
there's that too.
It's just guys selling you like Dynasty with an I, and they're just showing you.
Yeah, because I don't know if I'd be afraid of China or that in that way. Maybe Bangkok.
You know,
or
the government is so different. The government's so oppressive in China that I think they're afraid of.
They're afraid of
committing
crimes. Yeah, the criminals are afraid.
You go out in the country and it's a little it's janky. It's jacked up.
See, if I had to go to one place, an Asian nation.
Yeah,
it would be Korea.
Korea.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It just seems like that's the one kind of place. Even though they've got their neighbor there, that's a little crazy.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's the one place that's got it together.
Huh.
If you look online, they've got
Japan. Obviously,
Japan.
Yeah, but Japan's all radioactive now. And
they got rid of all nuclear reactors in Japan,
except one that's melting down.
But they're turning off all of the ones that are active. They're eliminating nuclear power.
Probably a good plan
because they don't want another Fukushima.
Except they're turning them off, and then they still have heavy water, and they still
they have things in them,
carbon rods, and they still have shit.
But they found that you can that heavy water that's contains all those radioactive elements.
Mm-hmm.
Those can actually be absorbed by lizards.
Oh.
So they'll just they're swamping the...
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That couldn't end badly, could it? Nothing. I heard moths are also good for picking up radiation.
Well, they have a tendency to collect around the top of the reactors.
Right.
All right. Okay. So anyway, where were we on this? Corey looks.
Don't worry,
like
Emula. We have found contact with Nebula M78. So don't worry.
Ultraman will appear pretty soon from Turkey.
What do you think about that? I read some fucking paranoid, guy claiming that if those control rods get exposed at Fukushima, it's going to be a global extinction event.
Yeah, I mean, we still have the problems with Chernobyl.
Right.
Sure.
Like, but you still can't go
there.
Is that
still hot?
It's still hot.
When is it not? Because,
you can't. I mean, you can go. Here's the thing, though. You can go to the city of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
But you can only be there for maybe, 6 or 7 hours. Okay. The government says, 7 hours tops.
Yeah. Tony Bourdain did it. He went on his show, and they were like, they went to, an amusement park that was abandoned.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's like, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Thanks.
Because I know, I know this from being in chemistry class in high school that eventually that all breaks down and they know how long it takes for, plutonium to break down to
the
different
half-life.
The half-life until it becomes iron
or
whatever element it comes to. But it takes a certain, but they know how long it takes.
They do know how long it takes, but the thing that's amazing about a place like Chernobyl is that you can never account for nature itself.
Yeah.
So the surrounding areas, all the animal life has moved back. All the trees are growing.
Yeah.
Everything is fine. And the radioactive levels outside of where, when trees and grass and water are allowed to flow naturally, it just disperses.
Okay.
It goes away. But when it's concrete buildings everywhere just holding that in, it takes forever for it to go.
When was Chernobyl? About 85, maybe?
83, 84.
Yeah.
Something like that. So how far are we from Colossus?
Oh, I'm sure they have him by now.
Is he there?
Yeah.
It's the X-Men, the Russian X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Are we getting a mutant out of this deal?
Absolutely.
Do we have a guy? They must have him somewhere in the bunker. Yeah.
Well, the Russians back during World War II were trying to create guerrilla soldiers. You know that?
Like actual guerrillas?
We have the documents, when the Cold War ended and they released all their documents. One of the experimentation things that Russia was trying to do was genetically splice gorillas to increase their intelligence to make a gorilla army.
It never works out, does it?
Doesn't work out for people like they think.
It doesn't, but it sounds great.
It does. I mean, I'm buying into it and I'm like, yeah, that could work.
But the only thing, dolphins are the only thing they've ever turned weaponized where the dolphin can go and
and get a bomb off the bottom.
Right. Blow up mines and stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Doesn't turn out good for
the
dolphin.
There were those people who did you see those two dolphins just died recently because someone had a party at SeaWorld. I think this was last week.
Yeah.
And they rented out the SeaWorld to have a rave.
Okay.
And someone gave some of the dolphins acid.
Oh, well, that's not
good. No, heroin.
Heroin.
It was
to
heroin.
The dolphins.
You give a dolphin acid. What is
going No, they gave a dolphin heroin. And what happened was the dolphins actually went on the nod.
Oh, what does that mean?
Like they passed out from the heroin.
Okay.
Like,
and they drowned, right?
And they did refuse to raise themselves to breathe.
That's a disgusting
story. What would a dolphin on acid be like? I can see colors in this water. What would they fucking think? What?
I mean, I don't know, right? They're as smart as us.
Right, but it's disorienting, I'm sure.
Right.
And so
I think the monkey army failed because they were gay.
There's that whole, there's a thing about that.
No, because gorillas left to their own devices will just fuck anything. So I think that the Russians were like, Bolshimo, it's gay gorilla army. And they were just having at each other.
The reason I say there's something to that is not because monkeys are gay or because they love to have sex, which they do. But in those documents that were released about the Russian monkey army.
Yeah.
One of the things that was released too was that the Russians were trying to develop a chemical that would make our soldiers gay.
Oh.
And therefore, they wouldn't be able to fight because they would be in love with each other.
Oh, well, that sounds like a plan, too.
1940s.
Yeah, well, people had wacky theories.
Make people gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also wouldn't let the blacks fight, which, we then later flipped that script around and figured out that's the first month. Didn't take long, right?
Yeah.
They were like, 1944. Hey, Darkie, you go drive the truck. And 1968. Yeah. Hey, Darkie, why don't you go check and see where the Kong are? You're first in line. Private Washington, you're up front, right? We figured that out. It was good. We were like, we'll make blacks peel potatoes in World War II. And then by Vietnam, we were like, why don't you go out front?
Right, yeah.
All right? You take the charge.
Walking point.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
That's good. Well, all right. Well, let's get into it. I mean, John, what have you been up to, man? I mean, it's been a good couple months since we talked to you here. You did the Fun House with
me. I did the Fun House, which I think went fantastic.
Psychopathic Radio. Yeah, people really like that.
Yeah.
Those Juggalos don't believe anything. So they loved you.
Yeah. Superstitious lot.
You know, and I understand that, and I kind of fed into it.
Yeah, John was there the night of my big prank.
Oh, yeah, it was a great prank, too.
I hoaxed everybody on the YouTube. So,
what did you do?
Well, it's a long story, but it was.
You told them that there was a new Twisted album?
No, it's too long of a story, but it was a good prank. But anyway.
There's a guy on Psychopathic who just put out some kind of album called, like, Paranormal something.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Prozac. He's not on our label.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
But he's affiliated with us. He has a radio show.
Yeah. So I did that.
He's a paranormal investigator as well. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, it's okay.
Well, he makes horror movies and stuff, too. So he's sort of in that whole. You know,
horror rap,
horror movies, yeah. Psych, you know, paranormal stuff.
John gets to go to horror conventions. Which
Oh, yeah.
That's Prozac. Yeah, every time I see your, like, Twitter or something.
Yeah, I was just at, there was Motor City Nightmares.
There's pictures of you.
That I was just at.
Isn't there one this week or next week?
I have a ghost hunt this Saturday.
You're not at the Comic-Con?
No.
No, they don't let you at that.
No, I was at that last year.
Oh, okay.
But I booked out taking people on a ghost hunt Saturday.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing this Saturday. And then the Saturday after that, I have to go to Kentucky to do another ghost hunt.
Oh, well, that's...
They probably see ghosts a lot down there.
There's a lot of ghosts.
We got these a dang ghost. Bopper and Bipper from the Amazing Race.
It's amazing how, like, when you go to
the... We own a race, Bopper.
It's amazing when you go to the East Coast and kind of in the northern states, there's a lot of, like, podcast conventions, comic conventions, sci-fi conventions, and then right in the center of the country, in the deep south, it's paranormal and horror conventions.
Yeah.
Non-stop, all year long.
Well, because you go to Boston, they're like, "Hey, come on, would you fucking ghost? Hey, fuck you, ghost! Come on."
But you can straddle.
Hey, Tony, Paulie, come on, let's go beat up a ghost.
Right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
But you're saying the more of the focus is on sort of the quote unquote real stuff.
Well, I've always said
on the East Coast, where the more sophisticated people live, perhaps.
Right.
It's more fictionalized.
Right.
The more fictionalized elements.
People tend to
think instead of real ghosts.
They tend to think themselves more cerebral in those areas.
Let me put it to you this way. There's no steampunk convention in Chillicothe, Ohio. You know,
No.
Tennessee is not having a steampunk convention or, you know, any of that.
Steam engine convention.
We just got one.
Yeah.
Cleet, this air engine will go twice as fast as your ox.
But then I did speaking of Kentucky, I did a Bigfoot hunt there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we plugged that on the Funhouse. How did that end up going?
It was good. I mean, nobody expects to catch Bigfoot.
Sure, yeah.
Squatch country.
But originally, one of the promoters...
What do they expect to see?
Yeah,
do they want?
No, you know what it is? It's I do a lecture, and then another guy who's a cryptozoologist does a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody goes out into the Daniel Boone State Forest, and you get those thermal cameras, where you can see if there's bodies out in the woods and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's basically just to show people, like, this is what people on TV say they're doing.
Yeah.
And this is what it's actually like to be here and looking for Bigfoot and whatever like that. Yeah. But
I've been to the Daniel Boone State Forest. I went there as a kid, and I did not know it was Squatch Country.
It is.
If I'd known it was Squatch Country.
I guess the idea is like, if there really was a Bigfoot, you could catch him this way. Is that a theory
that you could find him
this way?
Right.
He would be easier
if it's a large animal.
Right.
This is how you would catch it.
Like you could see a deer potentially on that, and maybe you did. I don't know what you saw, but
people always go, "Well, how come we haven't found a dead one?"
Yeah. Well, wait a second. So when we went out there, the promoter and I were joking on the phone originally, and the promoter was like, "Maybe we should, like, just as a goof, dress somebody up in a gorilla costume, and when we go out in the woods, we'll have him run around, and then he'll come up and say, like, 'Hope you had fun at the event,' you know, whatever," right? That. So it was just an idea that we threw around, and then I get to the hotel, I'm like, "So is that something that we're still thinking about doing or something?" He was like, "Half the people here are armed."
Yeah, that might
like
not
they're
be.
All
yeah.
bringing, they're all bringing.
Yeah,
guns.
That would be bad.
Well, you know, that was a deal when they were shooting Return of the Jedi, and they had Peter Mayhew running around in the redwoods. They had they were like, we got to keep the hillbillies away from here.
Because they're going to shoot
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And we got to keep his, you know.
Yeah, that is something you don't think about then.
So the lectures went great. Everybody loaded up. We went to Cracker Barrel to get something to eat.
Of course.
Well, sure you all did.
And then we went.
Come on in. Nah.
And then into the forests, Daniel Boone State Park, which is immense and it's mountainous.
Yeah.
And I think about an hour and a half in to wandering around in the woods, one of the promoters had a heart attack.
Oh, good.
In the woods.
In the woods.
Way back.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Moorhead, Kentucky. Nowhere.
And then what happens then?
Someone there was a registered nurse, pounded on his chest, kept him alive until an ambulance got there.
Oh, jeez.
That was, and then.
Good time.
And then there's people like, are we going to still look for Bigfoot?
Yeah.
No, this is over.
Yeah,
this is the end of the event.
Hey, man, we ain't seen no Bigfoot yet. Well, come on. Let's find him.
But no, and we didn't see a Bigfoot.
I'd love to find me at some bitch. I put him on my.
Now, you might not find
the
a Bigfoot.
Truck.
If you might not find a Bigfoot body if you subscribe to the idea that Bigfoot is an interdimensional being.
Okay. Wow. What if I just figured out what Bigfoot is?
What is Bigfoot?
During the Cold War, the Russians took
those guerrilla
army
soldiers?
Technology. Yeah.
Guerrilla Grodd?
They were uncontrollable. They couldn't handle them in Russia anymore. And so they said, let them loose on the Kipless oppressors. And they dropped a load of them somewhere in North America or Canada or something. And then now we're right? Okay, good.
Is that what you think?
No, it's Mike. I cooked up a conspiracy theory.
There you go.
That's what I'm doing. I'm joining conspiracy theories. That's what you do. You tie the threads together.
The three theories of Bigfoot: big animal, interdimensional being, alien.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because some people think that Bigfoot is like a biological probe.
Okay.
Like the aliens set this creature down in the woods to kind of blend in.
Nobody thinks
the woods.
It's a man.
What do you mean?
Like, people don't think Bigfoot's like a caveman that was never...
Oh, there are people that think that it's a missing link type
of
thing.
Sort of like a person who didn't involve.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
PJ Butler?
Cro-Magnon, yeah, just something
Large hominid.
Yeah.
Some kind of unknown caveman.
Right. But that would be considered an animal, then.
Yeah.
Because some people think with more gorilla, and then I could see it being more bear, more human.
Right. Now, see, one of the problems, not to get too boring, but one of the problems is when you read, like, North American Indian mythology about Bigfoot, they always talk about like the bear people.
Okay.
Or the panther people.
Mm-hmm.
And then in our ears, we think like that's a werewolf and Bigfoot, right? Bear people and panther people. But if you really read North American legends, they didn't distinguish between animals and people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's beaver people. And what they mean is the beavers.
The beavers are people.
All the, all those
bird people. Mm-hmm. The birds.
Okay.
That's what they mean.
All those Native American stories are there's always like an anthropomorphized crow or something.
Right.
And then Crow talked to Fox and they spoke, you know.
About the Bigfoot creature.
Well, I will say I've gone to John's, and if you get a chance, we'll plug the website. What is it?
Weirdlectures.com.
I have seen John perform a few times, and I've seen his show. And one thing he did that you know, you listed off like time travel and pylons and UFOs and ghosts and telekinesis, and you listed all those things, and then you were like, and then Bigfoot is the most probable because it's just an animal we're not aware of.
Right. When you have
and if you put it in those terms, it's a little more believable than something it's a little less of a cognitive leap to go. There could be creatures out there that were, because they only found like the megamouth shark in the 70s.
Right. Coelacanth, stuff like that.
They find species. There's some shit. There's some stupid little frog in Borneo
that
they find all the time.
What's crazier than my Bigfoot hunt was the conspiracy theory lecture that I did in Dearborn.
And what was that about?
Conspiracy theories and secret societies.
Okay.
Was Debbie
Dearborn?
In Dearborn.
Which is the home, for people that don't know, is Middle Eastern.
Largest Middle Eastern population outside of the Middle East.
Yes, okay.
So
John goes there, and what do you tell these people?
Well, the librarian seemed nervous.
Oh, okay.
He booked me there.
Right, but I think he's afraid that there's going to be some opposition to your beliefs.
Yeah.
Because I would think you're largely people that come see you are people that want to believe, or at least have some.
Yeah, and I just give out information.
Yeah, okay.
And let people draw their own conclusions.
All right.
But I said, how many people do you think is coming to the librarian? He goes, we normally have about 15 or 20 people.
Okay.
I was like, that's fine,
that's
whatever.
That's fine by you,
So we had like 70.
Oh.
So now he was really nervous. Like, the room was packed.
Like, the library's never seen this many people in it.
They never knew what was happening. So I got up and I started just... I try to engage the audience and have a dialogue with them. But every single person in there, like, it turned into this enormous, almost unmanageable crowd who wanted to talk about the Jews...
What about the Jews
and the Mossad? And then there was one woman who told me, who started, got into a really crazy Judeo-Christian rapture type thing.
No.
And she started telling me, like, you need to be open-minded and go to this website and read read what this guy says, because he's right. And I told her, I'll be open-minded and read his stuff if you're open-minded enough to think that maybe he's wrong. And she goes, he ain't fucking wrong! I said, okay.
No, no, it's true. Bigfoot is this evil hook-nosed Jew bastard's fuck dog. And then they make a man, crazy beast man of Jew.
Well, that's...
To run around forest.
Now, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
What? Falafel.
No Middle Eastern people at my lecture.
No, really.
No. Okay. Well, no?
They don't give a shit. That's the great thing. Arabs, like, are in their own
world.
But
then who were these people that about the Jews? Who were they ranting about the Jews?
Like, normal, really, everyday working guys.
You know, it doesn't take much for somebody to drop the Jew thing. I told the story about a funeral in my family recently.
Right.
And the guy, a cousin of ours was like, you know, those Jews really stick together. And I'm just sitting there going, you are, I mean, and I just looked at him like, I'm kind of like, Jesus, first of all, your last name's Glassford. But so you're not that far.
Like, it was
removed.
So strange, because even one guy at the lecture, at my lecture, he was like, I don't want to talk exactly about what he's talking about, but what I'd like to talk about is the structure of the building itself that fell during 9/11 and the interior metals, you know, that was created. Those metals were smelt in a Jewish, and I was like, wait a minute.
What, you know,
so now you're saying that when the building was built back in the 80s,
right,
the Jews were already like, we're going to blow this thing
up. Nobody
knew this, but they used the ovens of Treblinka to make the
I didn't know
the
that.
Metal rods for the
quite amazing.
The I-beams. No, wow. People are crazy, and they will see a problem with the Jews everywhere.
That's, if you open up a forum to that, then that's what you're going to get.
But everybody had fun, and had a good laugh.
From my experience with the Jewish people, I would say that really, you know, other than their aversion to anal, not really a lot of problem with the...
Oh,
wow.
Right.
What?
Wow.
There you go.
What?
Now, you know, I've also, since the last time I've talked to you, I've also done stand-up again.
Oh, really? I'm unaware of that. Where did you
at
go?
At O'Mara's.
You went to the great...
You didn't really do stand-up then.
O'Mara's Comedy Night, which is probably not unlike the Dearborn Library with the wackos.
With the kooks and nuts?
I actually went up that... it was about a month ago.
Okay.
I always feel bad I miss the weeks when John shows up.
Yeah.
And then I feel
bad. there were about 15 people there. Mm-hmm. It was a really slow for... Yeah. Like, slower than I've ever seen it.
Sure.
And...
that's about average.
I said, put me up. I'll go up. And by the time I went up, I think there were 7 people there. And I destroyed. I crushed that.
You crushed that 7.
All 7 of those people?
No, 7. I didn't know what hit them.
You know, that's the thing with that place. Like, when we did Bart's, you know, Joel hosted Bart's for many years. Yes. And Bart's would have a lot of nights where there was nobody in there. But there'd be other nights where people would come and then leave, but somebody else would come in and replace them.
I actually got into a fight with a comedian.
Oh, well, that's not shocking. They're a bunch of D-bags. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, Joel? Like, if like a table of 5 people would leave. What's that?
No, go ahead. Just keep talking. No, okay. It's fine. It's irrelevant.
Yeah. And, you know what I mean? If a table of 5-6 people would leave Bart's, we could recover.
Sure, yeah.
Because it was in Ferndale, and people would just walk up and come in all night.
Yeah, that O'Mara's is...
And O'Mara's, if they leave, they're not coming.
Nobody's
back.
Walking right, in right, off right, the street
right, right.
There.
Well, here's... that night, I got into a fight with a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Because I was waiting to go on.
Yeah.
Every night I go there, that happens.
People were leaving.
Sure.
Like I said, there's 15 people there. By the time I went on, there were like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. I was outside smoking, and one of the comedians comes out.
Yeah.
And just a younger guy. I mean, it's open mic night, right?
Yeah.
And he comes out there and he goes, "Are you going up tonight?" And I go, "Yeah, actually, I just put my name on the list."
Yeah.
And he goes, "I'm going home." And I said, "Why?" And he goes, "There's only like 9 people in there."
Yeah.
And I said, then go fucking home and don't ever do comedy.
Right.
I go, don't ever do comedy again.
Oh.
And he goes, what's that supposed to mean? And I was like, you're too good to do these nine people. It's fucking practice for you, and you don't want to do it, so just fucking give it up. And then he got pissed off and left.
But see, this is the problem I have with the there's a lot of open mics in town, and now they're being run a little bit more amateurishly than they used to be.
But
Harry's trying at O'Mara's, but it's really the comics now. And this could, believe me, don't want to derail the show with a 45-minute dissertation.
No, we're not
comics.
Going to.
Yes, we're not.
But all the younger comics have easily bruised pussies. I mean, they're very...
Well, here's my thing. I'm not a comedian. Am I wrong for saying that to that kid?
No, you're completely right. But I think, you know, he's right in the extent of, if this guy's got somewhere else to go do his thing, then it's fine to not do O'Mara.
Right, but he was going home.
Right, I know what you're saying. Yeah, he did make the... He already made the effort to go there.
Right.
You might as well do it once you're there.
You know what's crazy? There are guys... I know at least one guy that drives from, like, Saginaw or something to do that show. Like, they come from far away to do this horrible crap open mic.
Yeah.
And so I can understand that getting upset, but the other thing is not... And it took years for me to figure this out. No one show in comedy ever matters. Unless you're doing like...
No, but you do. There is a thing about, you know, you don't want to...
Unless you're doing an HBO audition or something.
You still have to keep doing it in order to be doing it, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, for John, you're going like, hey, where am I going to get up except O'Mara? So I'm going to go do this.
Right.
So to you, that's a big deal. But maybe to this guy, he's thinking, well, I've got... He may be a guy who's like, I've got three other open mics that I'm going to this week, and I don't need this shit, and I'm going home. So from that argument, that would be an argument he could have. I'm not saying he does. He probably doesn't. But if he did, he could say, well, you know, I don't really choose to do this one. But, you know, what happens when you're – and what a lot of guys who are new comics who don't understand the dynamics of an open mic is, sometimes you go to a paying gig, and there's fewer people than would be at the O'Mara's open mic.
Right.
And you don't have a choice whether you're going on or not. If you want to get paid, you're going to be performing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much have to learn how to play to six people. And,
I did a show once at a trailer park outside Flint.
Yeah.
And it was a bar. It was like the trailer park's bar.
Right.
It was like at the front end of the trailer park. And it was literally, we did a show for like the bartender and his girlfriend and like
that's
two other guys, and we were like, can we just go? Can we leave? And they're like, no, you gotta do a show, man.
Yeah.
And so we had to do a whole fucking show.
Well, that's
we're paying you to do it. You gotta do it.
My experience with stage performance isn't necessarily from the lectures that I've done all the years, but from the fact that I was in bands for years and years.
Right, yeah.
And we would play at the State Theater downtown, mm-hmm. and there would be 600 people there, and then we'd have to play Blondies
for
eight people. Yeah. And you had to play.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we drove there, and so you had to do it.
Got
to
do it.
That's show business, baby.
It is so.
Show business.
I guess what happens, I get upset at the open mics when there's people that aren't serious about it or are clowns. You're funny, so I don't mind. You know, if John goes up, I don't mind.
Right.
But there, you know what I mean? There's guys who've never gotten one laugh.
John is interesting on some level of, you see him and you hear him talking and you go, well, there's something to
John,
this. Yeah,
John's not going to, he'll get a laugh.
Polished that's, comedy. It's.
But I see guys that go up week after week after week and don't get a laugh. Yeah, and they keep coming back. And I go, that's when I get frustrated with the open mics, because I say, there are guys that are working that are good.
Yeah.
I'm here to work on material for the next gig.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I have gigs booked. Right. Not a lot, but I will have something booked, and I'll be working towards the next paying gig.
Right. So, John, I think John's right in that your argument you're making, but at the same time, is it worth making that argument, though? That's the element that, you know.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Because, like, I kind of go, well, I don't care. I don't care if somebody's there or not. That's their, you know.
Yeah,
that's
their
prerogative.
I feel like, absolutely, and a person can make any choice that they want. Yeah. But the thing is like,
there's too many guys doing stand up anyway.
The guy said, the guy came
get
out.
Yeah, get out.
The guy came out with a look of disdain that there weren't as many people as he wanted there. It's an open mic night. And he's like, I'm just fucking going home. Like, well, just fucking go home.
Yeah, just go.
And if that's the attitude about it, give up fucking comedy.
Don't try
too.
To convince you to go home.
Right.
Because
exactly.
You're gonna do it.
There are plenty of nights where I'll come into a thing like that and I'll go, eh, fuck this.
Yeah.
Because I've done a couple thousand shows, so I'm not getting a lot out of
it. Well, I'll tell you, when there's no one in the club, that's when I want to go up.
Right.
That's when I want to go.
See, for me and Joel, I'm sure we want more because we're testing material.
You guys are big stars, and you're celebrity style. And
no, I'm just saying, for me personally, I want more people because if I'm going up there to test a joke or a premise,
right. You want
to
know if it's
funny. I want to know if it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's different.
And you don't get much absolutely. Out of six people.
When you have enough people, and it's a relatively small number that is enough people.
Right.
But if you have, you know, in a small room like that, if you have 30, 40 people, you sort of have a group dynamic versus...
Right.
You know, people can laugh without being self-conscious about their laughter,
right.
And that helps. And, you know, the laughter being contagious doesn't really apply to a room of five or six people.
Right.
So, you know, there's a dynamic to a larger group. And a larger group, again, is a relative term.
So much math in comedy.
Yeah, well, there is math. There is a formula.
Whoa.
In a sense. And I'm not saying there's not a formula to writing jokes. I mean, people say there was, but there is a formula to a good comedy show, the venue.
There's a formula in 1943 the Germans developed.
You know what?
The Nazis developed a comedy formula.
You know what a good comedy show is?
They never figured that one out, I don't think.
You know what a good comedy show is?
What's that?
It's a cartoon show.
Oh, okay, let's plug
right,
that.
Let's get into John's other...
Bring up It's a Cartoon Show.
Is this a URL I'm supposed to go to?
Go to YouTube.
I don't... Is he going to be able to find it on YouTube?
It's got its own... site, doesn't it?
I don't know. If you go
I'm
to,
I'm just going
to
use Chrome's search here, and we'll see.
There's one on Vimeo.
There's one on Vimeo. Yeah,
that you'll find.
I don't think I found.
It's a cartoon show.
Let's see.
Yeah, you're right. YouTube is hard to find.
It's a cartoon show on Vimeo. Professor Z.
That's it.
That's you.
That's the first episode. That's episode 12, actually.
Episode 12. All
this
right,
is a Tenco production.
Okay, a Tenco production. I don't know if I have to...
You're going to have to...
turn this up here?
No, that's just the opener there. Whoa.
All right, so Professor Z is a cartoon show starring Professor Z, brought to you by Tenco.
And, John, you found this archive. They were filmed in, what, 1958?
Oh, so good. That's good.
That's the whole show, Joel. There you go. Pretty much. I mean, there's minutes.
Right. There's about 5 or 6 minutes left.
And then you're going to show cartoons.
And then you're going to show an old, like, public domain cartoon.
Yeah, for sure. There you go.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's the show.
It's based on it's supposed to be like a lost 1950s science show.
Sure.
Okay. That shows cartoons.
Oh, interesting. And are the cartoons themed in some way?
No, not at all. No.
It's whatever you could get that was public domain.
It's a cartoon show.
That's good.
You'll like it.
I'll embed that on joelradio.net.
You'll enjoy that.
If you want to see that,
production.
If you go to joelradio.net, that'll be on the front page
and
there.
You can also get at the end, there's a science experiment that Professor Z will show you how to do a wonderful science trip.
That episode is the soap boat. He makes a soap boat.
This is something you just came up with for an idea?
This is a 5-year-old project.
Okay.
But you know what I've realized?
Is it like been shot 5 years ago or the idea?
No. We shot
recently.
We shot stuff 5 years ago. I lost all the footage.
Okay.
Then the guy got married. Had kids,
yeah.
And now he needs something to get out of the house.
Okay, so you've got him because you're not Dr. Z. So
No. It's like I said, a Tenco production.
Some other guy. You were behind the scenes.
I'm behind the scenes. I
Professor
shoot it,
Z
shoot it and edit else. It and put it all together.
Okay, well, that's good. That's nice.
But the thing that I learned from It's a Cartoon Show with Professor Z is that Corey will absolutely understand this. One of my biggest problems is that if I have a great idea, I need to get it done.
Yes.
Or it's never getting done.
So
I found in the past year that technology has caught up to my ADD-ism.
So you can work at technology now works at your pace.
Yeah. I can shoot something, edit it. Like we shot the first episode. I edited the whole thing.
Yeah.
Put it together, uploaded it, and it was available on YouTube within an hour and a half.
Okay, well, that's good.
That's what I need
that
to be able
to
do.
Work at that speed.
Yeah, because if it takes any longer, I lose interest.
Well, that's what I feel about things. I feel about, like,
Go ahead. Go finish.
Well, I always felt that way about, like, things like video editing and the render time it takes to preview your transition, and it's like, oh, holy fuck. This moves so slow, and it's getting better to the point where now everything is real time and sort of like, you know, it's like, I remember when Photoshop would be a thing where you would apply a change to that
and you had to
sit
wait
there
for the filter to
for
come
an
out.
Hour for the filter, and you just go, ugh.
Well, we always had ideas, and we'd go to the coffee shop and sit and go, would it be great if we did this or we did that?
But the thing is, like, we filmed a thing called Super Force, and then, like, 99 we shot that, right? Mm-hmm. And we shot it on, like, a high digital 8 camera.
Yeah.
So we shoot it, and then we have 2 high digital 8 tapes, and we have to sit around and figure out how are we going to edit that.
Yeah, you have to get them, transfer them in real time, capture them.
And that thing took forever and to then, edit, right?
It took forever to edit back then.
Yeah.
And it's
that's the thing. You know, you do these, the technology gets better. I mean, the show, like a show like this, you know, could be up in minutes after it's done. Although we could be doing this live as well.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing. We're choosing not to do it live, but we could be doing this live as well.
John used to go, did songs and, you know, bands and music, and he would record this stuff and he played demos of it, and then he'd have to go in the studio.
Yeah.
And then it would take months. And I go, when are we going to hear that Super Wheel stuff or whatever?
Yeah, I would play something. I would play something recorded on an audio cassette.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I wanted to record it properly, $50 an hour studio time.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you have to sit there, get an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was on a DAT format.
Right.
Then you had to transfer it back onto something else that you could give it to people on cassette again.
Oh,
it's 2 years between making up a stupid song and getting it out to people.
We thought we were hot shit when we got a 4-track.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got a 4-track recorder.
Well, remember, we did me and Corey, before we ever did a podcast.
Right.
We recorded a radio demo on a 4-track.
Yeah.
And it was weird, you know, but it was the only way to control the levels of the mics and stuff. It was really the only way to do it. And we did it on a cassette. And we mailed it off on a cassette. We never heard boo about it, but it was very primitive. I don't even think we used headphones or anything. I can't remember. Did we?
I don't think we had cans.
I don't remember.
I remember shooting it in your living room in Hamtramck.
Yeah, we were in my living room in Hamtramck in our loft. And we somehow had this.
But we always had millions of ideas for things, and we would very rarely get them done. And I think now you're right. It's easier to get this stuff done.
It's amazing to me. It is really honestly amazing that, like, Joe and I shot that. And then, by the time he went home and went to sleep, it was already on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know,
that's crazy. That is really crazy.
Even the way we're doing this podcast is somewhat outdated now.
Right.
You know, we could be doing this where you could be in your house and Corey could be in his house and I could be
here. We could Skype
it. And it would sound every bit as good as it sounds right now. But, you know, it's just.
We could do it live.
We could do it on video. There's a lot of different ways we could do this.
And if there's enough of you out there that are listening, I know we get occasional comments, but not a lot. So please.
Yes. We had Cam on last time.
If you want to do a live show and call in, 610-552-0746. Leave
that's
a message.
Right. Yes, you can leave a message
on the D-Bag hotline.
And we'll play it on the show. We have that technology.
People will get heard on this show.
Right. But you do the Funhouse Live, and it'd be fun to be.
Yeah, we do. If you haven't checked out Psychopathic Radio, the Funhouse is on there. That's a show
that was fun. That was a good time.
And we're on live on YouTube. It's YouTube's live streaming technology that we're using.
It was a fun time.
And
it
goes out live. We have live phone calls. We take live Twitter questions and comments on there. And it's fun. It's a weird. It's a different way of doing it.
Yeah, like I even do, because I do this thing, Tenny Answers Tweets, which is a video thing.
Okay.
And I could do that live, but I choose not to.
Right.
But I just have people tweet me questions.
Yeah.
And then I take my laptop in my car.
Okay.
And when I'm running errands, I answer their Twitter
And then where
questions.
Do you put the video? Where do you put
on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. You know,
there's about 7 or 8 Tenny Answers tweets.
You know, back when John was a bus driver and working in the school district, he had a website called Love on the Floor.
Oh, it was one of the best websites.
On the Floor.
If I would have kept that website going, I would have been a millionaire.
Happens on Love on the
and
Floor?
And this was, was this, about 96?
96.
It's gone now. But
You could probably find it somewhere if you searched.
Internet way back.
What was that? Was that a...
It was a tripod site.
Tripod? Okay.
Tripod
1996.
Yeah,
and randomly, you know, every week or so, I would post the notes that I found on the floor.
Oh, okay. So
it was like junior high love
of
notes.
The bus, yeah.
Yeah, it was just middle school love notes.
Oh, okay, that would.
I hate this guy.
That would be a book or something.
Oh,
that could be published. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
He could have been.
First of all, I'm surprised that someone hasn't done it.
Yeah.
But eventually, when I started working with different school levels, the website had 3 categories, which was elementary, junior high, and high school, and so the notes were separated by those. And it was so funny because the elementary school notes are. You know, childishly written 2 or 3 lines. Do you like me? Yes, no, check a box.
Yeah.
And then the junior high notes are 7 and 8 pages long of girls to boys. Do you like me? Do you hate me? He said hello, blah, 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 blah. And then in high school, it's just all about banging. Like all of a sudden, it's back to It says like, "Do you like me? Yes, no, fuck." And like that's
they were great. It was a great site, and like now you'd put it on Twitter. And
yeah, that would be
on
Twitter
or whatever.
Yeah, I found a wallet in the rafters of my basement in this old house that's 85 years old or something now. And I opened it up and actually found the guy. It was like a kid who lived here. Hid his brother's wallet. This was the story they told me. And there was a map. There was like a Ferndale High ID in it and stuff. And there was a map to a house party.
Really?
Yeah, and it was the funniest thing from like 1978. There was a map to a house party. Yeah, and the guy's cousin. I guess the guy lives in California now.
Yeah.
But his relative came over. And we gave the wallet to the guy,
and they loved it.
Yeah, and they thought it was the coolest thing. They're like,
"That's
wow.
awesome."
There was no money in it, but it was just a weird, like somebody took a wallet and like hid it from his older brother.
Every place that I've ever lived in, yeah. I've hidden stuff in it.
Oh, have you? Yeah. So someone could find it eventually.
Yeah, eventually, every apartment I've ever lived in, I've done things like taken the heating grates off the floor.
Oh, okay.
And put notes and stuff and stuck them down inside.
Oh, wow.
Hoping that someday someone will find it.
The house will burn down eventually.
Eventually.
All right. Well,
but my mom's got like all the stuff from her aunt. Like she ended up with all the stuff when her aunt passed away.
Yeah.
And I was going through and I found like magazines, like a girl's fashion magazine from like 1968 with Sybil Shepherd on the cover. But I found a 1958 Michigan State Fair program.
No, that's cool.
With
that's
an
cool.
autographed like poop deck Paul.
Nice.
Or was it Captain Swabby or what was it?
Oh, I don't.
Anyway, much like It's a Cartoon Show.
Right.
He was the children's TV host.
Yeah, he was the guy that like showed Popeye cartoons. Oh. And
my father's convinced that he hid tens of thousands of dollars in his old house that he grew up in as a child.
Yeah?
Yeah, he always tells me, like, I gotta go back to that house. I know I was hiding money all over that house. I'm like, first of all, you moved out of that house when you were 9.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much...
wouldn't have accrued tens of thousands of dollars
hidden in the walls of a 85-year-old house.
Yeah, there might be other
Captain
stuff.
Jolly, that's what it was.
Captain Jolly.
I think that if you had the opportunity to rip down the walls of old houses...
Yeah.
You would find tons of crazy
stuff. Well, people do that,
stuff.
Construction guys and stuff. And well,
there's always money in the banana stand.
What does that even mean?
Is it an Arrested Development thing?
Nah, I don't know.
They had money hidden. The family had a banana stand.
I don't watch that show.
All right. They sold chocolate frozen bananas.
We don't know what that is.
Oh, screw you, people.
All right,
not
well,
having taste.
Let me plug something here. I'm in a feature film that's out now.
What?
You want to see? Yes!
No way.
I'm in a movie called The 5-Year Engagement that's playing in theaters now, so go see it because soon some guy and man in tights will be driving it out of the theater, so please support it. It's Jason Segel stars
that's
in
a
it,
real movie.
That's a real movie. Nick Stoller is the
You're
director.
You're not in it.
Who directed Get Him to the Greek and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He's the director.
You're not really in it.
I'm really in it. I'm what's called a featured extra.
Whoa.
Meaning that I have a...
Some good FaceTime?
I'm an extra who doesn't speak but is key to the scene, and I have FaceTime. And
wow.
Yeah, you can see me in a scene with Mindy Kaling from The Office.
Wow.
And Reese Ifans is in the scene, I believe.
Are you going to reveal what you do in the scene?
I'm the guy... Well, it's funny. I'm the guy who cries and eats the stale donuts. Now, if you've seen the movie, if you've seen the movie, you'll actually know who I am in the movie. Because this movie has this theme. Like, I remember at the time I did it, I went on this movie. First of all, I had auditioned for a role in this. My agent got me an audition.
Right.
To be in this big comedy that was being shot.
I need an agent.
And I said, oh, what a great opportunity. So I was going to be a restaurant customer, and I was complaining about my egg to the waiter. And I said, I want a regular egg. And the guy is... And he goes, what's a quail egg? It is a regular egg. That was my scene. And I read, and I didn't get it. And I was pissed off. And then my extras agency said, we need extras for this shoot. And I said, well, I want to be in this movie. I might as well go be an extra because at least I'll get to watch him shoot it. And you never know what happens when you go on him. They always tell you, well, if you go on a set, you know, you never know. They may pick you out to do something.
Right.
Of course, that never happens until it happened to me on the set of this movie. So I go there and I sit in this extra thing. And they're doing a psychological study. At the University of Michigan, Emily Blunt is the character.
Right.
She works in this psychology department, and Reese Ifans is her boss, and Mindy Kaling is a fellow student, and Kevin Hart is a fellow student, and all this stuff. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and all we have to do is go sit in there, and we're gonna be behind the glass and they're gonna study us, okay? Well, finally we get in. I'm on set for like 12 hours. They don't use me. They use a bunch of other people. Finally, they bring in me and some other people. And I'm sitting there, and the director, Nick Stoller, comes up to me and says, hey, would you mind doing something in this for us? We want to put like drops in your eyes so you can be crying. He says, because you're going to be watching The Notebook, and you're going to be crying. And we're and I said, okay, that sounds cool.
This is a tremendous piece of acting.
And then he says, you have to get up and you have to get a donut. And come back to your seat and continue eating the donut. And that was kind of my direction. And I said, okay. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of scene is this? And the guy comes, the head makeup guy who was doing all the lead actors comes over and puts these drops in my eyes. And I sit there and they shot me, from the front. And apparently they shot me from the back because the rear view is what they used in the movie. And I'm crying. And then I get up and there's tears flowing down my face. And I get up and there's donuts, and I grab a donut and I start eating the donut, and I go sit down. I'm eating the donut, and he says, "That's a wrap, thank you." And all everyone thought it was funny, you know, the lighting guys and stuff. And I go, "This will never get in the movie because
what is it?
What is it? We did like one take, and I'm here in this thing
crying eating
the donut, and I'm watching The Notebook and crying. And then I see Horrible Bosses last. I shot this a year ago.
Yeah.
Horrible Boss comes out, and Charlie Day is like sitting in his car watching The Notebook and crying. And I go, "Well, there's the same joke." Now it's really cut out of the movie, even if it wasn't before.
Right.
Then I show up, and it turns out that the whole movie, the theme of the movie, is that if a man eats day-old donuts, he's impulsive, and you can't marry him. And that is the theme of the movie, that Jason Segel, is he marriage material or not? And the whole theme is, if you eat the stale donuts, and then like she does it with Jason Segel at the house later on. So really, my scene was key to the whole movie.
Wow.
That's amazing.
They couldn't have done the movie without you.
Well, it was amazing that not only was I in this scene that I thought was getting cut
but you're
out,
in a seminal moment.
I'm in a seminal moment. I'm on screen for maybe 10 seconds.
Right. That is a...
But you see ever me, see your face?
I'm in focus, head to toe, shot, like probably waist up, and you see me crying from the back, and then I get up, and I eat I grab a donut, and I start eating it, and then they cut to Mindy Kaling, who is watching me on the other side of the glass, and she's crying and says, "I want a donut," and I got a big laugh, and that's the scene.
That is awesome.
And you can see me in the movie.
Good for you.
5-year engagement.
That is awesome, but I got to say.
A Judd Apatow production.
Do you get an IMDb credit for that?
I do not, because I don't have a line,
That is
unfortunately. I could list it on IMDb as an uncredited role, but generally, sometimes the producers will shut you out of that.
That's a dumb thing to hinge a movie on, though. I got to say, it's good for you.
No, but I mean, it's you have to see the movie. It makes sense. Movie, it makes sense. It's not some,
it sounds random.
Very proud of you, Joel.
There's other things in the movie, but there is this overreaching theme like that she goes. They live in San Francisco, and they have this great life, and she has to move to Michigan, which the movie makes out to be the world's worst place.
I know. They moved to Ann Arbor.
They moved to Ann Arbor, and they're like, these people are hilljacks, and they're in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
He's a chef, by the way, and he goes, I can't get it. He has to
work. You didn't see the movie,
did you? He has to work at the deli in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. He has to work at Zingerman's. And
But you could get a job. By the way, if you're a chef, you can get a job in Ann Arbor.
There's good restaurants. But anyway, but basically the reason it hinges on that scene is that, she does this psychological study and then she sort of relates it to her real life. And it was like Mindy Kaling's crazy idea. And then she starts to buy into it when they see it done a few times. Like there's a scene where Brian Posehn sort of does it. And then you see me doing it. And then she does it to Jason Segel at home. And I think he ate the stale donut. Because what they do is they say, here's some donuts. A psychological study. They put donuts out and they say, you can have these donuts if you want. They're a day old. If you want them, you eat them. 20 minutes for bringing fresh donuts.
Right.
And then they watch you. And they see if you eat the stale donuts. And if you eat the stale donuts, it means you're impulsive and you're not marriage material. So that's how that plays
you
into
wait for the
their engagement.
Oh.
Yes. If a man
he's willing to wait for the fresh donuts.
Jason Segel, I think, ate the donuts, and then she dumped him and went out with I'm ruining the whole movie, but it's a good movie.
We're very proud of you, Joel.
Thank you. I'm in and people have seen it. They've emailed me, friends of mine, and said, I saw you in the movie and stuff. I'm not wearing my glasses, if that affects your ability to recognize me.
Do I need an agent?
Yeah.
I can give you my agent. You maybe should have an agent. But see, I don't know. Here's the problem with you taking an agent is I think if you're taking like television work, the agent's going to want a cut of that.
Right.
So if you don't have an agent, you're okay. But you probably, you know, if you want to do feature films,
but you could
need commercials.
You probably need a road agent for all the booking.
Right, that's the thing.
Do.
You could have a million. You could have 50 agents.
Right.
But I'm talking, you would want an agent for feature film and commercial and television.
Right.
And that's what I have an agent for.
Well, then
I have an extras agent as well.
Joel, you do have an IMDb credit.
Do I really?
Yes.
I've not seen that.
What do you think you're in?
I'm in A Family Underground, the ICP. The DVD extra of Big Money Rustlers.
Nope.
What am I in?
You're in the Detroit International Comedy Festival.
Oh, am I really?
Yes. I looked you up.
That's right. I saw that movie.
Yeah, it's your one.
It's you and I are doing this show.
Right.
That's what we're doing in
right.
it. Okay. Oh, I see. I do have other credits.
You're in here. I wonder if I am.
Yeah, you should be in there.
Why don't you guys come on into Cartoon Show and then you'll get IMDb credit for that.
I'm doing it. All right. I will be. I'll be Captain Scampi, the drunk fisherman character that.
That's fine.
Runs
by
in
me.
With Professor Z.
How do you not have credits from? Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema.
No one had credits from that
but
show.
But you were on there. I turned on my
Someone
television.
Someone got credits for that.
You can actually still find that on YouTube.
Wolfman Mac got mentioned in...
Chris Merman?
Wikipedia.
Chris Merman is available.
Chris Merman. I'm looking that up.
It's on YouTube.
I'm looking it up.
Ethel Merman?
No, I did a sketch. I did a sketch on Nightmare Cinema where I was... it was a sports center.
Right.
And I was Chris Merman. So they painted me blue and put gills on me. And none of the guys on the show had ever watched like SportsCenter.
Yeah,
I've never watched SportsCenter.
Spell YouTube correctly if you're typing it in, because I've just got.
I'm just saying that joke. Like I did, you know, I did. It was a Godzilla movie,
right?
And I was narrating the highlights of Godzilla, like you know, King Kong and Godzilla fighting, and
right.
It was like, King Kong throws a boulder, and I'm like from way downtown, you know, and I just that was the bit. They edited it very crappily, but it's still on YouTube.
Chris Merman.
Put in King Kong and Godzilla. I think that was.
Is that it? Because Chris Merman brings me nothing.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna find it that way. But anyway,
really, Kong Godzilla is gonna find you.
Put in like Nightmare Cinema or Wolfman Mac.
Oh yeah, King Kong versus Godzilla.
You gotta put in that with Wolfman Mac. I think. Anyway,
wait a minute. I just found Michael Hayes and Jim Cornette debate King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh well, that's gotta
on
be good.
TBS's Super Scary Saturday, hosted by Grandpa Munster. I should be
well,
watching
that's,
that.
Well, that's gotta be.
All right.
Anyway,
how do you spell Nightmare Cinema?
With an S.
Nightmare Sin, S-I-N.
Emma.
Yes.
Which is they had to change the title because apparently
Nightmare Cinema King Kong versus Godzilla. There's
yeah,
6 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I know Wolfman Mac.
I think
on
it's
here.
The sketches without the movie in it. What's that? There you go.
Oh, wait a minute. Here he comes. Hold on a second.
There you go. Yeah. Oh.
Here, let's see.
Thanks, Chris. Tonight's top story. The big.
What was that? Just a quick cut to you?
Yeah, this show was a mess. All right.
Well, they saw you for a second.
Chris Merman. Thanks, Chris. Tonight's top.
They cut you out of there?
No, I'm in there. See, there he goes. Throws the boulder.
Don't look now, because Godzilla is on fire. Fuego.
That's the bit, see?
Whoa. Oh,
they didn't put eyes in Bony Bob. They were so terrible.
Eat all your vegetables.
There you go.
Final score. Kong 1, Godzilla 1. Tokyo 0. But the real winners are the fans.
Yes, indeed. When we come back, the Invisible Man vanishes down the clutch, and Mothra hatches a comeback attempt.
Thank you. All right.
All right, there it is.
Wow.
Girl,
wow.
There it is. Chris Merman.
We were writing this for kids. Anyway.
Look for that on the front page of JewelRadio.net
as please,
well.
Please,
we'll,
don't.
Corey is Chris Merman.
No, please,
that'll be the front
please don't.
Cover image.
Speaking of technical difficulties with that show... There were a million,
yeah.
But one of them was that if you're new to the show, I worked on a local horror movie host comedy show, which was on TV for a while here. We had to convert into we'd shoot on digital, and then we had to convert it to Beta SP tape.
Ooh,
yeah.
Because
that doesn't make any sense.
I know because Channel 20 had that was their whole system ran on Beta SP.
Yeah.
So we had to shoot the goddamn shit digitally and then convert it and then get them a tape and then run the tape over there.
What I was going to say, though, what I thought was crazy is on the Wikipedia for Channel 20,
mm-hmm.
they mention Wolfman Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. You think of all the years. I don't know anybody who's not from Detroit doesn't right. know this, but Channel 20 has done some pretty crazy stuff that doesn't get mentioned on the Wikipedia page. Bill
know.
Kennedy. Well, no, Bill Kennedy was 50.
Was the Ghoul on there?
The Ghoul was Channel 20.
Actually, that was the deal. The Ghoul, who was a horror host, was a famed local horror host in Detroit in the 70s and in Cleveland. He wouldn't come on our show because he had a problem with Channel 20 because they like
back
in the
70s
he fought with them in the 80s or something.
Did you have Son of Froggy on there?
Yes, we did have
Son of Froggy. Yeah, Son of Froggy.
And he, I don't think he was happy. I don't think the Ghoul was happy with. By the way, the Ghoul, I've met the Ghoul, and you know, it's like a 55-year-old guy in a fright wig.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, and you're like, wow, you've been doing this shtick a long time. You're like, you know, Grandpa Haynes.
Living the dream.
Yeah, he's still out there.
He was at the convention.
People like you show up
right.
to see him.
Speaking of the comic convention, we were there with our booth. We were next to Tom Savini.
Okay.
The motion picture special effects master.
Guru.
The horror master who's made all these zombie films and all this great effects. More people were coming and looking on our stupid, you know, our stupid skeleton puppet with a straw boater on. And Savini was getting pissed.
You know who destroyed?
And then the Ghoul was
at the horror movie convention I was at.
Who's that?
2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever it was Sid Haig.
I don't know who
Sid Haig.
The guy, Captain Spaulding from the House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know who that
Sid
is?
Sid Haig is even uglier than me. And he
that guy had a line all... Now, Dee Wallace, nobody.
Was, Dee Wallace,
she was
nobody.
Quiet all.
Sid Haig...
Isn't that the mom from Poltergeist?
From E.T.
From E.T., that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Sid Haig's one of the ugliest human beings ever. And he's in movies just because he's creepy. And he was in like a thousand... Like exploitation and horror movies.
I think that there's something happened with horror movies because it used to be campy and fun.
Yeah.
But there's something that happened where, like, there were people walking around, and I'm not even, like, joking about this. This is a real, true thing I saw. There's a guy with walking two little kids, his looked like son and daughter, and they were probably about 6 years old. And the father had a shirt on that says, I don't fuck dead people unless you die while I'm fucking you.
Yeah,
and I was,
right.
and I thought to myself, like, we live in a much different world than when I was a child, right? Because, like,
well, it's
if fuck was even around, my parents wouldn't let me near, much less my father wearing a shirt that said something that.
Well,
crazy.
I think the thing is that horror movies have become their industry unto themselves, whereas horror movies were really just part of movies before,
right?
And there were people that liked horror movies and were sort of devotees, but you couldn't all gather in one place back in the day. They didn't have those kind of things,
right?
So sort of that element has sort of risen up to where there really are crazies that are into it to the point where they're going to take their small children and they're going to wear some ridiculous shirt, you know.
It's crazy though, right?
It is. I think so. Well, imagine, like, back, if you go and watch any YouTube clip or any old documentary about, you know, the opening of Star Wars.
Right.
And what that looked like. People weren't dressed up as the characters.
Right.
Watch the opening of episode 3 or whatever, any of these fucking... And it's every guy... It's all cosplay and shit.
Yeah.
Because it's like people...
Yeah,
just,
that didn't
you know, people till... are, you know, fans of things were just regular people who just happened to go to these things.
Right.
They weren't... And not everybody was branded one thing or another thing. Because
Star Wars really... Star Wars really made
it,
that
It started
happen.
That, yeah. It definitely yeah.
I think people started dressing
Star
up...
Star Trek sort of did that too.
People,
a little
I think, it started dressing up to go to Star Trek conventions.
I think
the,
that...
Right.
I think that Star Wars was directly influential to make people do it for Star Trek.
I think people I think...
If
well,
you,
Star Trek... The thing is...
I think that... No,
the reason that Star Trek made a motion picture was because of the success of Star Wars. That's no doubt about it.
Right, but I think that when people started dressing up for Star Wars, the people who had liked science fiction because of things like Star Trek were like, these motherfuckers are getting all the play.
Well,
they're dressing
think,
up. They're really into it. Let's show them that we can do that, too.
I believe, and without any imagination, I believe that also increased, like, Star Trek's... ratings on syndication and stuff went up because people had a newfound interest in sci-fi that they didn't remember. Sci-fi before Star Wars was really like 2001.
Logan's
sort of,
Run.
Sort of this weird thing and, you know, Planet of the Apes maybe. And sort of science fiction was sort of a genre picture.
I think I think it all felt, you know, it all built into each other because Star Trek was doing really well in reruns.
It was doing well in reruns, but I think
and then
the interest in Star Wars made more people interested in Star Trek.
But it's like Star Trek was building its audience.
Sure,
then
it was.
Star Wars got huge.
Yeah.
And then this, and they were going to do a new Star Trek series.
Yeah.
And in fact, that first movie, some of the sets were built for the series.
Yeah.
And they went, oh shit, let's make it a movie because we can really make money that way.
Yeah.
When Star Trek came out. When Star Wars
when Star came Wars out. Came out.
Right.
Yeah,
so that relaunched Star Trek.
Yeah.
There you go. It all.
And there we go. We broke it all down.
And here we are on Joel Radio.
What's going to relaunch Wolfman Mac's career?
I don't know. What is he doing now? Does he have a show?
I think he's like not.
He's been on this show, by the way. If you want to hear an interview with him, you can go through the archives at joelradio.net.
Yeah. I haven't seen
just
Mac
click
in a
on
while.
Shows.
I don't know what
he's
but
on
he,
there.
He sold stuff to Retro TV and stuff.
He was
didn't
on
he?
Retro TV, but Retro TV got pulled.
Yeah, they got rid of Retro TV.
Oh, they did.
Or it's not on in Detroit.
It's not on in Detroit.
They have the Living Well Network.
Oh, right, right.
Retro TV Network is one of your digital two.
It's like an optional
broadcast channels.
Yeah,
and it was on in Detroit for a while, but then they lost some of their rerun packages.
You know what? I'll tell you this. I'm going to try and combine what we're talking about right now with what we just talked about now.
I think It's a Cartoon Show should be syndicated.
Last 2 weeks ago, because I don't have cable, I just have regular digital antenna,
and
whatever it is.
Digital sub-channels.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday afternoon, and one of them was showing an old episode of Star Trek.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you guys remember this, but in Detroit on Sunday nights, like that was the only thing to watch.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Growing up? Sure.
Like that's the only thing they'd show reruns of Star Trek on Channel 50
right.
on Sunday.
And there was so little to watch. It's
there was
amazing.
Little anyway. I mean, I remember Sunday morning was Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember that.
On Channel 7.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello every Sunday
every
morning.
Every Sunday.
What about like the Little Rascals? Was that
they were on probably earlier, but like what time did Abbott and Costello come on? Like 10 or something? Yeah. Sounds about right.
I remember that. Was it Saturday morning with Little Rascals? It was like after the cartoons, right? They'd go.
I thought Little Rascals was before the cartoons.
Or maybe it was Sunday.
Yeah, I thought Little Rascals.
I think
was
Little Rascals.
I remember Channel 4 is like, they had the theme music and they'd be like.
I think Little Rascals was on Saturday mornings before cartoons.
That's what I remember it too, yeah.
Because it
that
was
shit
Little
was
Rascals.
On all the time.
It was Little Rascals. For me, a Saturday was Little Rascals, then cartoons, and then. Soul Train,
right?
Which no, which before Soul Train
into,
would be wrestling,
wrestling,
and before Soul Train, American Bandstand,
and American Bandstand, yeah. Sir Graves Ghastly,
okay,
and then Channel 20
what
had.
What time
the,
was Sir Graves Ghastly on?
It depended because sometimes he was not every weekend like people thought. Sometimes it was Soul Train,
okay,
and sometimes it was Sir Graves Ghastly. And then you had Channel 20 double feature, the Thriller double feature.
Which used the Led Zeppelin
the Led Zeppelin
song.
Opener.
Yeah. Okay.
And that.
Yeah, that was.
That started. And that was crazy because that started at, I think, 1 or 2. And they showed two movies back to back. But at the same time, Channel 50 would show a horror movie.
Oh.
And so you had to.
Memories
gauge,
of childhood. You had, John Tenney.
You had to gauge if you wanted to watch Horror Express or Psychomania.
I remember wrestling was 11 a.m., I think, on Channel 50 for a long time. There was the syndicated WWF wrestling.
Right.
That was 11 a.m., I think both on Saturday and Sunday. But it was on one channel, and they had a different show that was on the other. And I remember that was 11, so I would watch cartoons and then watch wrestling. And then at noon, that's when your Soul Train,
right,
your American Bandstand started around then, those kind of things.
But my original point was...
Okay.
Yeah.
I felt like a 10-year-old because
no,
it was
because
Sunday.
You saw it, and
it was Sunday. There was nothing on, and here was an
would
episode.
You remember like Night Gallery Saturday nights and stuff?
Yeah,
that was a big thing.
When I was a kid, and I lived here, but I also lived in Cincinnati for a while when I was a kid, and in Cincinnati, much like you said, they would Ultraman would be on.
Yeah.
Ultraman would be on like Sunday morning maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it would sometimes be Johnny Sacco. And as a kid, I had no way of knowing which one.
Yeah.
You didn't really lose.
Right. Well,
but you were always like, oh, and then it would be a surprise.
Yeah. In Detroit, we would have.
I think they were sold as a package.
There was the 4 p.m. Was it the 4 p.m. movie?
On Channel 7.
On
the
Channel
Monster
7.
Week.
Monster. They would have Planet of the Apes week. And they had
Godzilla week.
And then they do Ultramans. And yeah.
They also did Clint Eastwood.
I remember running home from school to catch Godzilla week. I remember just being like,
so good.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes.
I'd be like, I can't book home fast enough to get home for Godzilla Week.
All right. Well, let's get into some more contemporary entertainment, shall we? Let's review this movie.
No, it all sucks.
I can tie it all together.
It was better in the old days.
This movie Dark Shadows came out over the weekend.
Ooh, there you
which
go.
Is tying it all together.
Used to watch it.
Did you watch it? I never
56,
saw goddamn...
I used to watch it because it was Dark Shadows and then Doctor Who.
Okay. So
when
it
I was
was
a kid.
But I don't even know...
Dark
like,
Shadows was already... It was over by the time we were...
I was watching it in reruns, but
it, yeah,
but
you,
I loved
you would have been watching it in reruns. You're not even old enough to have seen it.
Because it was on in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, my mom watched
it. But Dark Shadows, the movie, came out. Tim Burton directed it, and I saw... I know Corey saw it, too. But... So my girlfriend thought this was going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And again, she has no knowledge of a Dark Shadows television show.
Right.
So how true or not true to the show, I have no idea. And I think the idea with this is that nobody who was a fan of the show is either alive or relevant in any demographic way.
Right.
So I don't think they had much, you know, I don't think they felt much of a need
which,
to be
which,
true to
which
the
which I think is strange
show.
Because I did watch it in reruns as a kid.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
But would you go to a Dark Shadows movie?
If they would have done it the way that I wanted it to be in my mind, I absolutely would have gone.
Well, I saw it, and I thought it was pretty good. I have no desire
to see
giving it. I'm giving it a mild recommendation. It doesn't set the world on fire. It's not... my girlfriend's disappointed is that it didn't have enough comedy. And I said, well,
if it had more comedy, it would have been ridiculous.
Right, but the comedy is so campy that you almost don't need it, but then it has... What I liked it as is it was Dracula in the 70s.
Right.
The movie takes place in the 70s. And I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
The fish out of water Dracula in sort of modern time. But, of course, the modern time isn't really modern time.
Right.
It's the 70s. That kind of worked for me.
You know, some of my critical brethren, I was arguing with somebody about this yesterday, just hated it.
Yeah, I could see people hating it.
Some of the critics really hated it. And I went, do you enjoy movies?
Yeah, like,
I really,
that's the thing, yeah.
Because at the Avengers, I gave the Avengers the benefit of the entertainment value.
Sure.
I just thought Avengers was a big rollicking entertainment, you know.
Right.
It was a popcorn. Did you see Avengers?
I haven't.
I haven't either. So.
All right, but it's a big popcorn movie.
Right.
It's not if you. I gave it a good letter grade, but if you stacked it up to, you know, There Will Be Blood or some serious movie, it's not that.
It's not a great.
But
film,
for what it is, it's very fun.
Right.
And that's the same way I felt about Dark Shadows.
Yeah, Dark Shadows is entertaining. I mean,
it had problems, but
yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not great cinema, but it's.
But some of the critics were just down on it, and I went. What the fuck did you? It's based on a soap opera that cost $9.
But don't you think that they right? could have gotten? Don't you think that they could have gotten far less criticism if they would have just called it like Dracula Night Fever, and then and not associated it with Dark
I'm
Shadows
not sure.
at all?
I'll tell you what. No, because again, this is another one of those cases where everybody gets all up in a lather about the canon. Oh, it's
oh,
not
God.
Living up to the tribute. Dark Shadow sucked. I mean,
well,
really,
yeah, that's why I don't.
It was
feel
never
like this,
a good show. It
I,
was
see, I
fun.
Don't even know how true this is to Dark Shadows. I don't even know.
I am disagreeing with Corey. I
right.
love
how true
the soap
is this
opera.
To the. I mean, I'm sure the main
the
characters,
all the storylines are from the show.
Okay,
every one of the plots is from the
show.
But
I'm guessing they were,
with the exception of maybe one or two little twists. But okay. but all the main themes are from the show. If you watch the show,
okay,
and I did when I was a kid. It was on in. I remember my uncle had a bunch of like Famous Monsters of Filmland
right.
magazines, and Jonathan Frid was always on them.
Oh, okay.
So I was always aware of Dark Shadows, even when I didn't see it that much. But you know, it's a soap opera, and the movie is exactly that.
Right.
Some of the plots don't really pay off all that much.
Right. The movie sort of starts about this woman who's trying to be a servant in this house. She's supposed to deal with their kid who has some problems or whatever, and then they sort of drop her from the story. And then she sort of plops,
yeah.
and then the vampire shows up, Johnny Depp, and then it's all about him, and then they sort of tie them two together, and then she leaves. It's a weird, it's got a
well,
weird...
Like, Barnabas wasn't on the show for the first, like, 6-7 months
oh,
of the
okay.
original show.
Interesting.
It was more about her story, and then people were like...
So Barnabas really became, when they...
Yeah,
when they booked Johnny Depp to be the star, they made the movie around him.
No, he was the star once he showed up.
When
on
he
the
showed
show.
Up, but okay.
But originally on the show, he wasn't there, and then they brought him in, and the show got popular.
Oh, okay.
But you know, whatever.
Did they have a werewolf in the Dark Shadows movie?
There is a werewolf in the Dark Shadows.
There is, but okay. it's a. I,
we don't.
No
okay.
spoilers.
Secret.
No spoilers.
Secret.
No spoilers.
It might not be the same werewolf. There was a werewolf in the show called Quentin.
Yeah, Quentin.
And but it's a different.
It's
there is
not,
a werewolf.
There is
anyway.
A there is a werewolf twist in the movie.
All
let's
right.
just say
all
that.
Right.
But you know, I mean, it's like
it's goofy fun.
It's goofy. And again, it's like, and if you like Tim Burton, as much as like people are hate him because he takes properties and puts his own twist on it.
Right.
Honestly, I felt like if this movie, they could have just called this something else. and you would have thought this was from the mind of Tim Burton. It really
right.
feels
Dracula
like him.
1972.
And I feel like that sort of, and I feel like it's in a good way. Because I do think Tim Burton ruined shit. I thought that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie was one of the all-time worst movies.
You know what
I've
I just
seen?
Learned about that movie?
But, what about it?
That Tim Burton specifically hired a screenwriter for that movie who had never seen the Gene Wilder movie. No, did you know that?
Well, he was trying to be true to the book.
Yeah,
and
Tim Burton didn't want anybody, any screenwriter that had been influenced by the first film.
Right, he wanted
so he
to
said,
distance himself
take the
from
book
that, yeah.
and write a screenplay yeah. around it.
It's funny because I feel like with that movie and the book, I feel like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a great book. I feel like then when they made it a movie, when they made it Willy Wonka,
yeah.
they needed to put stuff in it so it wasn't sort of dull.
Yeah.
And so they added all those songs, and the, you know, there's no songs in the Tim Burton one, but only the ones that are like in the book, and they're very short.
You know,
right. little
the same guy wrote this one and Dark Shadows.
Okay.
John August.
He
who
wrote
also wrote Big Fish,
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
He's been like Johnny's.
Yeah, but
also, you know, but. Seth Graham Smith, who's doing Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter,
right.
and the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah.
They both wrote.
Yeah, he wrote on Dark
and
Shadows.
And I think the Seth Graham Smith stuff is better.
Well,
I can tell.
You know,
it seems like the stuff. From
whatever.
His book.
I just feel like Dark Shadows isn't something that you could ruin as a property.
It was never good to begin
garbage,
with.
Right?
When you in the
garbage.
Movie,
you know
in the movie, is it all comedy or does it get dark sometimes?
No, it has.
It's got that very. It's got that very Tim Burton gothy feel to it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
and
not
the beginning of it. The prologue is set in the 1890s.
Yeah, that the prologue is amazing. It's actually really cool.
That's more horror. And then when he shows up, it is a little fish out of watery. Comedy.
Yeah, it does turn into sort of like
But it's never
like he sees a muscle car or anything.
Because I have the thing with Tim Burton films, like when I say, is it more comedy or is it dark?
Yeah.
The thing with Tim Burton films is like, I don't, even though I think it has funniness in it, I don't consider like Edward Scissorhands a comedy.
Right. No, this is a comedy. Dark Shadows is a comedy.
Sleepy Hollow is not a comedy.
Right.
Right.
I would say Dark Shadows is a comedy.
It is
first
it's
and foremost.
A little more of a comedy.
And it almost is a parody. I feel like it's almost more of a parody of like Twilight or something in that modern sense of, you know, vampires are supposed to be sexy. And here we have found this one vampire who's not sexy.
Right.
And, you know,
yet everybody lusts after him.
Yeah. But yet everybody lusts after him. And yet he can't really act on it.
If you watch Dark Shadows, Jonathan Frid is not,
he is not a sexy.
Yeah. So I feel like it almost is a take on a modern like True Blood or Twilight or something.
Right.
So I liked it. I mean, again, I don't say, hey, run out and see this fucking thing.
I kind of, I like that you have a villain who's the hero.
Yeah.
He's a vampire and he kills people, but he's basically a decent guy.
Right, right, right.
And he's got these old Victorian values that he's trying to impart on this lawless new world.
Yeah, he's a guy that.
Maybe I'll go see it.
I'm overhyping I thought it was fun.
I thought people
were a little too hard on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Johnny Lee Miller's character does nothing and is pointless.
Yeah,
he's a wasted character.
They could have got any fucking schlub to play that.
He does nothing, and you just sit there and go. That was kind of the problem with it. There were characters.
Yeah,
there were characters that trailed off and plots that didn't really resolve properly.
Well, the son that is sort of this guy that needs. He does nothing in the movie.
Maybe one
scene towards the end it pays off a little bit. But
I think they got in there in the editing room and went, you know, the fun stuff is Johnny Depp.
It's Johnny Depp acting.
So they decided to just let the other stuff fade. And
Michelle Pfeiffer's very good, but she kind of does nothing too. But, you know.
She looks good.
She looks good, and all of the actors look good.
You know what? She was playing, but Michelle Pfeiffer's playing that, like, soap opera matriarch part.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. That's what the part she was playing,
right?
And she did it well.
I am.
It's a little more Adam's Family than probably you would expect from Dark Shadows.
I don't think it ever went completely over the edge to just nonstop silly.
No, it wasn't.
They brought it back a little bit, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
Excuse me, legs.
It's all right.
Yeah. All right. But some guys were just down on it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's not that bad.
Look,
movie.
It's a dumb movie, but you kind of know that going in. So
the A-Team movie. Okay, people.
I like the A-Team movie.
Some people were slamming on that, and they were like, "It's not like the A-Team." I'm like, "It's exactly
the
like
show
the
was
A-Team.
The. It was too. Remember when we sat there and we went into it like, well, they're not going to not kill anybody in A-Team, and then they made this A-Team movie, and you know that nobody gets shot in A-Team movie.
No one does.
They're firing machine guns, clips, and nobody gets shot.
I think a couple people got hurt.
But, I mean, like, nobody dies in it. They didn't kill anybody.
Maybe.
No, I remember they didn't, because they didn't kill anybody in the show.
But the A-team sucked to begin with. And
that's
I think
true, yeah.
Sometimes we get a little too referential. Some people are getting all upset about Transformers. Now, the Transformers movies blow.
Yes.
But the source material was a cartoon for eight-year-olds.
Right.
Right.
So can we just please pull back from the... Now, with the comic book movies, I do get a little defensive, because people go, well, they're just dumb comic books. And I go, there's varying levels of sophistication,
you know what,
in the comics,
but you know,
right?
You know what? Here's the difference, I think, when you look at like the Transformers cartoon, which you say actually, you know, was written for children, and then people get mad when the movie doesn't match up with their childhood memory. When they mess with something like Superman or Batman, right? Those are pieces of Americana that have existed for 50 years.
Yeah.
70.
70 years.
Right.
You know, the X-Men came out in the 60s. So people have the right to get mad when something has been a certain way for 40 years.
They don't mess with them as much as, like, Transformers, they introduced all kind of, like, human characters and stuff that never existed.
But I'm saying, like, Transformers was on for, like, 3 years.
Yeah, right.
Back in the 80s.
Right.
It's not, like, something that lasted
for
50 years.
That's what I liked about Avengers, is that they didn't fuck with it. Like, when the superhero movies are really bad, like Catwoman, or that Superman 4, or, you know, the really bad ones, the studio comes in and goes, let's do, you know, this is screwy. And with the comics, you're right, there's 50 years of fucking Avengers comics to pull from.
Yeah, there's enough plot lines there.
Right.
There's enough that worked that people obviously liked that you don't have to mess with it too much.
But at the same time, you know, when they do stuff like they do...
And you can make it more adult and all that kind of stuff.
But I think part of the thing, the Transformers, is like... The Transformers have a universe that they live in that's not ours.
Right.
But they can't set a movie there because no one could relate to it. So they sort of have to set an Earth. They did that with, but Smurfs did the same thing. They couldn't have the Smurfs take place in the Smurf Village. It has to take place in New York.
In New York.
Because to have it in Smurf Village would be too, and that would be a better movie, probably.
Right.
To Smurf fans, whoever the fuck they are, but they would, you know what I mean? Like, whoever is in the Smurfs would enjoy the movie just taking place. And having, you know, Gargamel being the only human, but when you can't really have a movie there, and that's why I think Transformers, they have to set it in the real world or else no one can relate to it.
Right. And that's exactly why you have to have...
And that's why you'll never make a Thundercats movie.
Well, that's exactly why you have to have Ghost Rider in this world that we live in.
Where does Ghost Rider live in the comic?
Well, I mean, you can't do it, set it all in hell.
Right, okay, right? Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, I'm just waiting for the spirit of vengeance to come out.
Yeah, you know, I would love if they did Ghost Rider as a period piece and put it in the 70s.
Yeah.
But they never do that shit.
Well, that was good. That was good about Dark Shadows being in the 70s.
A lot of the
humor came from that.
Because Ghost Rider was basically Evil Knievel and The Exorcist.
Yes.
They were like, hey, what if there was a demon and he was also a stunt bike driver?
Okay.
That's the most 70s thing ever.
Right, yes.
That is as 70s as it ever got.
Right.
And you know, that's great.
So when does the second one come out?
It's already out.
It's come and gone,
buddy.
Oh,
my God.
Well, you got to get up. You got to get with it, man.
That Nick Cage room.
John doesn't own a television.
They didn't run one commercial for that.
No, they did. There was a Super Bowl commercial, I think, for that.
They ran like three commercials.
Yeah, it was out. There was publicity.
Let's go to the box office report on this.
Go to Box Office Mojo.
Should we get into The Dictator?
Yeah, you can. I haven't seen Dictator.
I haven't either.
The only movie I've seen recently is 5 Year Engagement in Dark Shadows.
Good work, Joel.
There you go.
Good work, Joel. Go see Joel in 5 Year
Engagement. Go see Joel in 5 Year Engagement.
Go see him before the celebrity taints him.
Right.
He's a big star.
I'm a big star.
Pussy just falls from the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Just waves.
Right past him and right onto the ground.
Splatters.
I told that Emily Blunt I was taken. You go back to your John Krasinski, Emily.
Yeah.
Go back to your Jim Halper.
Is that the movie that Jason Segel's naked in?
He's naked in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which was their first movie.
Oh, okay.
So this is like their sort of getting back together movie.
Is this a sequel? No,
it's Jason Segel and Nick Stoller wrote.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Get Him to the Greek, Muppets, and this.
All right.
Together, those are the four movies they've written together.
See, it's the same thing with Tim Burton. It's like he's got a team.
Yeah, he's got a team, sure. And Judd Apatow produces, and you know, Nick Stoller directs and Siegel stars, and that's right. And it hasn't made as much money. And you know, part of it is that they're trying to position it as Bridesmaids too, which is too bad because it's not really like that.
Right.
It's not Bridesmaids.
It's not Bridesmaids, and Bridesmaids might be funnier than
I feel like
it can be a little more.
I feel
real
the
than
problem
that.
With that movie. I've heard it's good. I haven't. I will see Five
okay.
Year Engagement.
Yes,
but I got good notes on it. I think the problem is that if you're a married couple, you don't want to see that shit. If you're a couple that's going to get married, you definitely don't want to see that shit.
Well,
because you're already living that hell. So, yeah, and if you're a single couple, you're going to not really get the nightmare that is getting married.
Well, I mean, it has its not nightmare points, and then it has it, you know. So
mm-hmm. I know. It's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
But speaking of an alleged comedy, The Dictator.
An alleged comedy.
Yeah.
This is Sacha Baron Cohen, who somebody tells me was funny once. But
who said that?
I don't know. I've heard it.
A person who's not funny.
No one in this room.
Well, you know, here's the deal with Sacha Baron Cohen. Yeah. He had a show called Ally G.
Yes.
And that was on HBO. Yeah. And it was him doing all the characters, including Ally G. Mm-hmm. People forget that there was an Ally G movie.
There was.
And it was awful.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
And Ally G was funny in that he would do this character and then interview people.
Okay.
And he'd sit there with Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Brit Hume or whatever, or Johnny, you know, whoever was sitting there. And they'd buy into this character.
Yes.
And the goof was on the, you know,
well,
what dumb politician.
I believe, or? I think, I'm not, boy, somebody could Wikipedia this and prove me wrong, but I believe the Ally G character started on some British...
It was like a variety
sketch show or something.
Right, where he didn't.
And then the thing, when it took off, is when it came to America and they sort of made it that fish out of water thing. That's when it sort of took off. That I don't think the Ally G. I think the Ally G character was more of trying to be like a real character in the British sort of, in the British fiction, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't. But okay.
No, but I'm saying he existed in sketches. He wasn't a character in the real world.
Right.
Well, if you know what I'm saying,
all the stuff Sacha Baron Cohen's done before,
right,
is based on him playing a character and
trying to convince people that he's
and
a phony. But
somebody's not in on the joke. Yeah. Now I think in some of that cases it is staged,
right.
But I think he got the good stuff. Like when he in Borat, people really thought he was from Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Although how they got clearances for all those people, some of those people had to be actors.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But there were times when you could definitely tell people were not in on the joke.
And the Borat movie came out, and people did not know what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
There are people who lost their minds. That was the greatest movie ever.
There are people still quoting that film.
I don't know that. I think people have kind of come to their senses.
There's still
that
people quoting that film.
But there's still people who think
offices,
that's the greatest movie ever.
Offices across America where people are still,
yeah,
you know,
it's still.
The thing with Borat is I thought Borat was really funny. I liked the movie.
Okay.
But I'd already seen the character on the HBO show.
Right.
And the problem with him is he's like, it's good one time.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you're exposed to it, then it's the joke.
Right.
Because
then he made this Bruno movie that made $3 and no
Bruno
one cared
was
about
funny
it.
Too, though.
Okay.
Bruno was funny.
But
in a
people
different
didn't
way.
People did not accept it in the same way.
It was fairly successful. It wasn't as big a hit as Borat, but it was
successful. Okay. Whatever. All Go right. ahead. How was Dictator? Let's get
so
to
the
that.
The problem with the Dictator is, and the Ally G movie was scripted. It was not the pseudo-documentary that Borat and Bruno were. Well, Ally G movie was terrible. The Dictator is scripted, and the problem with The Dictator is you then have to have a character that moves through a plot of a movie.
Right.
And can't just go and do his wacky antics. He's, you know...
You have to have
a believable character. It's a romance.
You have to have a character that takes a journey of some kind.
Right.
And this guy...
And he's supposed to be fucking Gaddafi. You know, he's essentially Gaddafi.
Right.
He's this spoiled, you know, he's the son of a dictator, so he's this spoiled brat dictator. And he just routinely, you know, gives the execute sign to people.
Mm-hmm.
He pays celebrities like Megan Fox to fuck him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got like a whole wall of like all the people he's banged. He puts Polaroids up after, you know. And it's funny for the when they're setting up what, you know, his whole shtick.
Sure.
And then he comes to America and, you know, loses his beard and gets lost in the public, and they do like Moscow on the Hudson, basically.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's a fish
coming
out of
to
water.
America. Yeah,
right. And that's where the movie starts to go because you can't believe him for a nanosecond as a real character.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, that's the thing. He lives in his own world though. He's not in the. I'm sorry. You're, I'm you're confused by what I'm saying. But
no,
I
know what
sense.
You're saying. Yeah. There's no real world. But the problem right. is everybody then raises up to his level yeah, yeah. of comedy.
Right.
So there's no real world for him to live in.
Yeah.
Because he's Anna Faris is the, you know, the romantic foil. Yeah. Anna Faris has never been believable for an Anna. She's always doing. Ah.
There's no.
Right.
Yeah.
But Anna Faris is always doing. Right. She's still doing.
Put scary, her in the Avengers because.
Right. Right. Yeah, she's still doing scary movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Oof. Not. You know what I mean? Like they could have got. They needed to get a girl. That was like
a little more grounded.
Is that a Greta Gerwig or something?
And does it become? I mean, is it just a? Does it just traditionally resolve itself? Like, does he? Is it? Is it? I understand the comedy.
Yeah, I mean,
man.
Is it Arthur? Is it, I mean, I know.
Yeah,
you're,
it's pretty.
Yeah,
much
I was going.
The same.
Like, it sounds like Arthur.
No, it's
sort
the
of.
Same story. And you know what? Yeah. At the end of the day, this is a guy that's like. There's a big joke in the movie, and I'm going to spoil it. Fuck it. There's a big joke about how Menudo broke up because he raped them.
Oh, okay.
He paid them to come, and then he humped all of them.
I
and
can't
they,
believe you're going to ruin
so
the movie
sad.
With that line.
You know, and you're going,
I can't.
You know what I mean? But it's
that.
A guy that's like, yeah. you know, you're like, this guy should be going to a war crimes tribunal. This is not funny.
Right.
You know, and then there's another joke how, like, every time he tried to execute somebody, they'd escape.
Right.
And they all went to this
so,
bar in New York.
So basically people but, figure out he is this awful dictator, and they accept him in some way. On some level.
At the end, they figure out he's okay. the awful dictator. But, like... You know,
but by that time, he's learned compassion and kindness.
Yes, he's learned how to be a man. And it's like, but he's, it's just, you know, for me, and so some of it's funny, but it's really more obvious now that he's doing jokes. Like, he's doing all these anti, like, oh, anti-Semitism is bad.
Yeah.
Let me point that out by showing you how awful the Arabs are.
Yeah.
Like, and now, granted, we do Arab jokes all day, and we just did some earlier tonight.
We did, yes.
But it seemed, it just seems more obvious this time.
Okay.
In Borat, it got away. He got, it was funny because yes. he was sneaking up on you with it.
It was a little...
Here, you see him coming, and so for me, wasn't as effective.
Sure.
I did laugh. I'm not going to say I didn't laugh.
Sure.
But it's a little bit of a letdown for if you liked that guy.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to say
But, you know, people
it.
Loved I mean, Andy Kaufman, and that was all a work.
Sure. Yeah, it is. But, you and know, and there's something about it that comedy...
Bob Zamuda is still out there pimping. Bob Zamuda was on Marc Maron.
Unbelievable.
Still pimping. You should. Did you listen to that?
No.
You should listen to it. Bob Zamuda was still protecting the whole wrestling angle.
Yeah.
Like, no, Jerry Lawler really gave him a pile driver. You know, like, he was still out there...
Take that to his grave.
Right.
Yeah.
Zamuda was still pumping yeah. the legend because he might get another buck out of it. Hmm. By doing Tony Clifton somewhere.
Well, I think there's a thing about comedy where it has to be subversive on some level, and I think when you have success with that, you know, with when you've had that Borat success,
how
that
do you,
you
go
can't
back subvert, to subvert?
Yeah, I mean, you're a big star, and everyone knows who you are.
Right.
Sort of,
he couldn't.
It sort of becomes like Tom Green's deal, where he used to go out on the street, and no one knew who he was, and he could do these hilarious things. And then it gets to a point, well, you can't do that anymore because everyone knows who you are.
Right.
And you know.
All right, Bruno made $60 million. So
okay, but Borat not, might not have great. Made $200 million, though.
Yeah, so.
So
or,
I mean,
or more.
Or more. I mean, who knows? You'll find out what Bruno made.
Yeah,
this see. Guy's got the instrument. Look at it.
128.
128. So half the audience didn't come back.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
So that's a pretty good.
What did the Ali G movie make?
$9.
But that was a different. Again, I think that was.
I don't even think
thing.
That really got a real American release.
Right. That was
but
like.
You
a
would. I'm interested to see because the number would have come from after Borat.
But I thought the.
You know what I mean? Through rentals and.
But I thought the American Ali G. The reason that was, I thought that he hired. Like, I know, like, Seth Rogen and a bunch of guys were writers on that show.
Were they really?
Yeah, and they all sort of came to it when HBO picked it up. So
what was that movie even called? I'm having trouble.
Ali G
it.
In the House.
Was it In the House?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
And that character is like, you. It's not showing
it's
up on
It's got nothing.
No?
Nothing?
Nothing.
Well, can you just, all right.
I'm going to put him in.
Just put, yeah, put Chuck for Sacha Baron Cohen. And then,
but, yeah, I mean, so... I think the joke is just when the more with him, the more you can see the joke coming.
Sure,
the less there is funny stuff. He's got.
He's a funny guy. I got to give him that. I mean, I can't take that away from him. I don't know that he's the guy that should be a leading, you know, guy. Like he's in Hugo.
Oh, really?
He's great. He's just a guy in the train station. That
yeah,
chases the kid,
he's a little are, he's a little sticky.
He's a little sticky in that. But
you know what? He's great.
It's Peter Sellers ass.
I liked
it's really
him.
Good. Hugo's great.
Go ahead. I was going to say I liked him in. Talladega Nights.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, he's in that.
Sweeney
too.
Todd. He was good in that.
Yeah,
did
I didn't
you see Sweeney Todd?
I think it's funny that he actually can pull off. There's moments where when I first see him on screen, normal.
Yeah.
that it takes me a minute to figure out who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, that's Esther.
Right. He's got that thing where,
you know, they don't have Ally G in the house listed, so I'm thinking
under Sacha Baron Cohen.
No, I think it might not have actually counted in American box office.
Well, what about on IMDb? They'll be able to link to it, right?
Yeah, probably IMDb. I'm looking on Box Office Mojo.
Bunch of nerds.
Excuse me.
Well, excuse me.
A bunch of nerds.
If Corey can't properly do a double check Google search, I mean, this is ridiculous.
I was looking for box office numbers.
You're both on computers.
I'm on my computer.
This is, you know,
Ally G in the house came out in 2002.
This is how long I've known John. John once had a store. And that I worked in sometimes, and I have it here. And he had AOL, and we would sit literally
17 years ago.
We would literally sit and look at the wall for like 25 minutes, waiting for AOL to boot.
17 years ago.
And we'd hear that.
I have the
yeah.
Okay, it was only released in the UK and Europe, and it grossed its final tally in the UK was £10 million. So that's not very good.
No. Not good at all.
So $20 million.
It cost $5 million to make, but it only grossed to £10 million. So, anyway.
Well, he's from Hammersmith. I wonder if he's a Fulham or a Chelsea fan. All right.
Well, that's before we get on.
Yeah.
Before we go down some.
Did you see the Man City?
No,
and Queens Park Rangers game.
I don't give a fuck.
Go out and smoke for that conversation.
I don't honestly. I know people got into that because it was Man U against Man City or whatever, but.
It was like for one time it was.
That wasn't Man U against Man City, but they were competing for first place,
right?
And Man City had.
It was the last day of the season.
It was the last day of the season,
and they were like, and
City won. And what happened to you? You also won, or
no? Man U got bumped down because City won.
City won and eliminated Man U. Yeah. So
John is bored out of his mind.
All right, John. Well, anyway,
one thing I can't do is sports.
Well, it's. Football, soccer is not really even sports.
Oh, how dare you! You can't be multifaceted.
But I'm saying there's guys who don't know anything about sports, but could talk your ear off on like football, on like Premiership,
right.
International footy.
No, it's an acceptable hipster. Sport.
Yeah, it's an acceptable hipster sport.
Which is fun. The show Portlandia.
Yeah,
they did a sketch about like a couple that were like. We're going to our first Portland Timbers game, so we got to make a sign that really shows.
Yeah, soccer's
how wait. We've never been to a game, but let's make a sign that shows how into it we are.
If you're really into sports, you hate soccer, generally speaking. And then if you're some hipster who hates sports, you probably like soccer. I know that seems odd to you, but
okay. Like Monday loves soccer,
right?
But wouldn't watch American football to save his life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't watch the NFL,
right.
But he loves soccer. And
yeah, there are guys soccer.
You know what you can like? Also, NBA is cool for some hipster guys.
Right. I know there are guys who wear the NBA jerseys.
Like, they don't like football is like the top, and you can't like that. But you can like NBA or something.
Yeah.
Or hockey.
I know there's. I know hipster baseball guys.
Yeah.
But they're only into baseball when you go. They're not into what. Like, you can't. Fuck that TV baseball.
Right.
You have to go to Comerica Park.
They're into drinking.
They're into drinking beer and going to Comerica Park and watching. But would you ever do that?
No.
That's not your thing either.
No.
Okay, so you're not into any of it.
No.
And there's nothing you're into.
Not sports.
Nothing athletic.
Sports, not at all.
Okay. All right, let's talk about.
Chair be noisier? Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I don't know. How is it? I thought you just dropped keys or something.
I did drop.
Yeah, so that's what I heard. I didn't hear the chair.
I had to stretch.
All right, you stretch.
This is the noisiest podcast.
It is. Ever. It's fine. It's perfect.
It's all me just making noises.
It's Corey fumbling.
Dropping keys. The fan is running.
Fumbling. I don't think anyone can hear the fan. That's a quiet. That there is a quiet fan.
It is a quiet fan.
All right, so all right,
can I
anything
talk?
Else?
Well, I you know, it was my birthday last week.
It
was my birthday last
birthday,
week. Thank
Joel.
You very much. Thank you for all the birthday wishes from our podcasting fans.
So nice of
I
them.
Didn't get any.
610-592-0746.
But
you know what? You're not like an active Facebook guy.
I got 50 million happy birthdays on Facebook.
Are you 52 now?
Yeah, I'm 52. I'm just.
That happens, though.
Not 53.
You know, at a certain point, I felt bad. Like, on my last year's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I just got so many fucking Facebook.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Everybody just hops on it.
But some people don't even write. Some people just write HBD.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you're not even trying. Like, what does that mean? That doesn't even mean you give a shit. Some people actually wrote stuff, or some people, you know.
But then I'm sitting there going, I got a couple hundred birthday wishes. I can't even.
These... Yeah, you can't even write them all back. And
meanwhile,
thank them.
I wrote back every single person that wished me happy birthday last year.
I've done nothing.
Every single one.
I did zero.
I probably had 300 happy birthday wishes. Every single person got either a thank you or a smiley face.
Well, I guess I'm a jerk.
Right, and you get, you know, you get all these like people that just know you from the lectures or fans or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And so you got, and then you got to respond to them.
Yeah, I didn't respond to anybody, and I'm sorry, but I'm not a big guy on the Facebook. I don't.
That's your persona, though.
It's what? It's the guy that doesn't like Facebook.
Yeah.
That's
well. Imagine if
right? Thank you for the persona.
Imagine if you posted you posted your Upchuck birthday. The hits that would come there.
Yeah. Well, that's not. He's not even on Facebook. So.
Right.
But you know, I. But anyway, so any. I went. My girlfriend decided. She was watching this Celebrity Apprentice. Which I'm not going to talk about because it's a big piece of shit. And that's all I have to say about it. And Corey has nothing that differs from my opinion about being a big piece of shit.
Haven't watched one episode.
But anyway, the Blue Man Group were on this show.
Oh, my God.
So she goes, oh, Blue Man Group is coming to town. She's watching this. And then there's a commercial. They're on the show doing one of their little on the street.
Did we talk about what they did?
Lemonade stands or whatever. And then, no, because we're not talking about Celebrity Apprentice.
But the Blue Man Group was stupid.
Okay, I don't care.
They had they. Here's what they did. Okay. Just
I don't want to talk about Celebrity Apprentice.
They showed up.
Does it make you that mad?
It's a horrible piece of. It's terrible.
All right.
Who's the final two?
Wolfman Mac show is better.
Who's final two?
Come on, tell him about Celebrity Apprentice.
Who's the final two?
Arsenio.
I don't know.
Hall.
He's the fan of it, not me.
Arsenio Hall and Clay Aiken are the final two.
So anyway, so these Blue Man Group are on there, and my girlfriend goes, "Do you want to go see these guys?" And I say, "Yeah, maybe. I guess. I don't know. I didn't even see him on Celebrity Apprentice. What did they do? Tell
this
everybody
is their
what
stunt.
They did."
Penn called them in from Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
They were like raising money.
Okay.
And Blue Man Group showed up and they were like, we can't touch money because when we're in character, we're beyond the concept of money.
They're
so
like
instead
from outer space.
So instead of like walking up and handing a check to Penn,
they had a
cannon or they had this like, they had a balloon. They were blowing up balloons in this big air pressure and there was money in the balloon. So this balloon fills up with money floating around it, and then it exploded all over a park in New York, and like people are mobbing each other, like grabbing $50 bills.
Well, that's what happens.
That
so
was
anyway.
Their shtick.
Okay. It has nothing to do with my story, but that's what they did. My girlfriend sees this. She goes, well, do you want to go? And I said, yeah, I guess I'll go to that. I don't know. I mean, you know, I never saw it, and it's not, it's not magic, but it's like performance art.
Of
music.
Some sort.
It's sort
or
of
it was
related,
at one time.
And, yeah, and I go, okay, I'll go to that, you know, whatever. So we look up tickets, and it's like, it's $120 to get the main floor. This is at the Fisher Theater.
Okay.
And they're doing like a 10-day run or something, you know, every night, twice on Saturday kind of deal, you know, they're playing. You know, like a play or something would be there. And I go, well, $120, that's, you know, you're not really going to spend that for me on my birthday, are you? And she's like, well, I might, but if that's what you want, that's all you're going to get is a ticket to this dumb show. And I go, well, I don't want that. So buy the cheaper ticket. Get the $50 ticket.
Right.
Which is up in the balcony and, you know, whatever. It's okay. Well, you know, how bad could it be, right? So we get this $50 ticket. And I'll tell you, there's shit you can't even see from the balcony.
Right.
There's stuff. Well, I mean, they basically had these giant, part of the show was that they had these giant iPods.
Okay.
Or iPads or whatever. But they're huge. They're literally, you know, 8 feet high by 4 foot wide. And they really look, and they were interacting with those, and it was kind of cool. But they were putting stuff on them, then it was above the row of, like, can lights that were lighting the stage.
Oh, right.
So you literally, some of that you couldn't see. Then for the big finale, they're, like, throw these big balloons out in the crowd that have LEDs in them, so they're changing colors. And then they're shooting, like, toilet paper. They have these toilet paper launchers. They're pretty cool. It sounds
right.
It sound dumb, but it's very neat. And so they're doing this big rave kind of music thing. And everybody on the floor is knocking these balloons around, and we're up in the balcony.
Watching.
With our
no
dicks
party
in our hands.
For
yeah,
watching
with
it.
Nothing. Yeah. Basically watching people do it. And it's like, well, you sort of didn't get the same experience for the cheaper ticket.
Right.
And for me, the show was barely worth the 50. And I just think that at 120, even if I could have not, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
What I wanted was to sit on the floor and have the full experience for $50.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have that.
Right.
So to me, the show was kind of a big ripoff.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
That's what I took away from.
I agree.
Well, what about the part where they have the street fight with Mom and Shantz? Does that happen
that
in the
doesn't
late?
Doesn't happen.
No,
that they're
Mom and Shantz like spins their toilet paper faces.
They
see, I'm with you though because as a person who used to love to go to concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I never, and I know that this puts me away from a lot of people.
Sure.
but I never went to concerts to see the bands.
Okay.
I went to concerts to hear the bands live.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
I get that.
So the cheapest ticket that I could have gotten
yeah.
was as good
That's all
as
you
any
need.
Other ticket.
Sure, okay.
So I understand your frustration.
Right, right, right.
Because if they're putting on a show that's this interactive, this yeah. put together,
yeah.
everyone that goes should have that experience.
I agree with you, yeah.
You don't fuck a bunch of other people
yeah,
by
they
saying
did, they
you
did.
Can watch everybody else have fun.
There were good seats that were empty,
right?
Because people didn't want to buy them, and they didn't move the people from the cheap seats to the good seats. Now, they said, "Fuck you, you're going to sit in the seat that
right.
you paid for."
Granted, when we were younger, when we were in our teens and early 20s, we were going to shows to mosh and shit.
Right, you go to a general then, admission show, and
right,
whatever.
And I'd
you
go could... to Soundgarden, and then work my way up to the front. Yeah. And then you go, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Because you're in the front of the pit and you're getting slammed.
Okay.
Right.
And you
but
go,
but
oh,
when you
dumb.
Get to something
It's not a Blue Man Group.
But you get to something that's more refined, like a Broadway-type yeah. production like this is. And it's because Blue Man Group are on Broadway. They've got a theater in Vegas. They've got a theater at Universal. They're on cruise ships. Right. They're in Tokyo. They got all these different theaters. And you go, like, this has got to be some great show. But it just kind of...
I mean,
they did a 90-minute show, too. That's the other thing. And I think that's a little too brief. Considering if you see a play, if you see, like, a Broadway musical, aren't those, like, 3 hours?
Well, like, I went and saw Phantom of the Opera.
That's too long.
Okay, but still.
I went and saw Phantom of the Opera.
There's a value for money proposition in a three-hour show is all I'm saying.
When I saw Phantom of the Opera,
yeah,
there were, like, $300 tickets.
Okay.
And there were, like, $70 tickets.
Okay.
And I got the $70
sure.
tickets. And it was great.
Okay.
Everybody could see.
You could see the whole
venues
thing.
That
right.
The venues that are picked for that show or that
yeah.
it's in.
What theater did you see it in?
Somewhere in Canada.
Oh, it was in
the
Canada. Okay,
Pantages,
okay.
maybe
Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that. Sure.
Yeah, it was great.
That would be the equivalent of the Fisher Theater in Detroit or something.
Yeah.
A nice theater like that.
You know,
sure.
when the giant chandelier falls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
But
the
it all took place on a stage. There weren't
by
guys
Phantom,
running up the aisles.
By foe.
Right, exactly.
I remember the dumb commercials for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, they played that thing at the Fox.
But it was
and
great.
Yeah.
And everybody had a good time. Yeah. And everybody left and had felt
sure.
good about seeing the
yeah.
whole show.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that you would have felt disappointed at Blue Man Group.
What do you.
Because it's just kind of like. Yeah, when they were playing the little PVC instruments and
right.
stuff, you could hear all that, and that was cool. But it when you make it interactive, and then there's stuff that you can't participate in, you kind of go, well, fuck. And then they do 90 minutes, and you go, geez, I could have went to the Comedy Castle and saw Norm MacDonald or somebody
right.
for $30 and sat
and probably
in the worst seat, I would have sat 50 feet away from him.
And there's exactly. a chance it would be interactive after the show when Norm has a drink.
All right. Well, yeah, whatever.
What do you think they charge in Vegas?
Vegas is probably even more than that. I know my girlfriend went to Love, which is the Cirque du Soleil Beatles show.
Right, which I'd love to see,
I think she paid
actually.
About $200 for that.
I'd like to see
and
that.
And I don't think that was the good seat. I think that was the cheapest seat.
You interested in seeing that?
I am, but I'm not going to Vegas anytime soon. So
what do you think of that mix? We've never talked about
that's
that.
That's a cool mix. I like that. I'm a fan of the Love mix.
I like it, too.
Of the Beatles, but, again, I get to a point
what?
Where there's a value for money proposition that might not be there. Like, I'm going to Penn & Teller in a couple of weeks.
Where's that at?
They're at Caesars Windsor.
Oh, right, right.
And I bought tickets. It was $80. I'm in row 8, front and center.
Wow, that's good.
For $80, and I'm like, that's great. And
what
I don't know if the cheap seats were, I don't think there even were cheap seats for that. I
what
think
about
everything
Terry Fatore? How much would you pay to see
I would pay zero. You could pay me, and I might consider going to
what
Terry
What about
Fatore.
Going, how much would you pay
but
to be in the audience for the finale of Celebrity Apprentice?
Well, here's another thing I bought tickets for, and you can tell me, I did pay $120 per ticket for this. I bought tickets to see Bruce Springsteen at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Good seat, 6 rows from the field.
I can see that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm really debating going to the Beach Boys.
What's the debate? You love the Beach Boys.
I know, because...
It's a DT. You can probably get a lawn ticket for $12. Why would you not go?
Well, no, but I'm wondering if I want to sit on the lawn.
I'm going to look up Beach Boys.
Yeah, because it's like 70 for the pavilion.
Right.
All right, well,
and I'm thinking I might want to pay 70. Look, the Beach Boys.
They're
reason,
going to be dead soon. And
right.
I'm not saying that.
Right.
No, no.
Right.
They're going to be dead.
They might not survive the tour.
Right.
So I might.
Are they? Now, wait a second. You've just sparked something in my brain.
Yeah.
Are they all still alive?
No.
Okay. Someone has died, right?
This is all of. Yeah.
It's all the living guys.
All the living members.
That you
all
call
right.
The
Dennis died, drowned,
okay.
and Carl died. So it's but it's Brian and Mike. It's everybody who's alive.
Right.
They even brought the guy that was in like the first two albums, and then they fired. Okay. They brought him in. So
it's $35.55 with fees for a lawn ticket.
Oh,
that's cheap.
Yeah. Who's opening for that?
Probably nobody. I don't know.
There's a comedian. They're going to have a Shecky Mahoney.
I mean, the biggest, and they're probably sold out, but it's $96.50 plus $15 in fees for their best ticket. Yeah. And then there's official platinum seats, which are probably a fortune. Yeah, those start at $370. See, Paul McCartney did this. Paul McCartney
Here's
Paul
chairs.
McCartney ticket from Comerica Park last summer.
If you sit in the platinum, Wendy from Wilson Phillips, Brian's daughter, will come out and give you a hand job.
Okay, I paid for Paul McCartney at Comerica Park last summer, $59.50. I'm sure there were fees for that.
Right.
And I was in the sixth row of the upper deck at Comerica Park.
How was it?
So it was great. I loved it. And well, I knew to buy. But see, Paul McCartney scales his tickets from $2,500 for front row,
right,
to like $250 for the next 20 rows, and then down to like $20. These weren't even the cheapest tickets.
I now feel kind of bad about not going to the Monkees last year.
Yeah, and Springsteen charges like $100 for pretty much all the seats except for the shitty ones, which are like $50.
Right.
So depending on how you scale it, yeah. I mean, you need see these.
I'm not a fan of Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
But every single person I know
loves the show.
Tells me that I have to see him.
It's a great scene. It is a great show. I went to the Palace.
They're like, even if you don't like him, you're going to see an older guy get on stage and put on a show the type of that people don't put on.
I got into Springsteen in '86. My mom bought me. I'll tell you. Well, now listen to me.
It's just funny the way he said that.
I'm going to
tell you. I got into Springsteen in '86
because the box set Live 1975 to '85 came out. It was that five.
Right.
LPs or three cassettes or three CDs. And I got it for Christmas. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And it was great because you got all of like his hits from like 84, you know, the Born in the USA stuff. Plus you got all his old, you know, he had all these old, and he got you into the older albums and it was great. And I never saw a Bruce Springsteen concert until a month ago when I bought a ticket behind the stage at the Palace of Auburn Hills for $50 the day before the show.
And then when you saw the show.
And I said, I need to go again.
It blew your mind.
It blew my mind. It was fantastic. He did 3 hours.
What everybody tells
me. He did 3 hours. And I was a fan, and I didn't even go to the show. Because part of the deal was, I think in the 80s and the 90s, it was harder to get tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Springsteen would come to town, and, like, you couldn't even get a ticket.
Right.
Or then you have to pay a scalper. But now, like, you have StubHub and eBay, and you can, you know, Craigslist. So I bought a ticket behind the stage, just a single ticket. My girlfriend was working the night. It was a Thursday night. I said, I'm free. I got $50.
You went by yourself?
Went by myself to Springsteen, sat behind the stage, which is actually pretty close to the stage.
Right.
But you sort of have a rear view of things. But you have your own PA.
Right.
And you have your own LED screens to see what's going on from the front, you know. And I loved it. I thought it was great. 3 hours, stood up for the whole thing. It was great. And I said, I need to see the show again. And so he's doing a stadium tour in the fall, and the closest he's coming is Chicago. And I said, Wrigley Field, which is, you don't know nothing about sports.
I do know about certain
Wrigley Field is this legendary baseball field, which is very intimate. And I said, wow, that seems like a great place to see an outdoor concert in the summer.
And it's only a 4-hour drive.
And it's a quick, you know, but tickets are expensive.
Yeah.
So
I think we're applying our older mentalities to ticket prices.
It is, but.
Because $125 isn't a lot.
It's not that
for a ticket
much. Yeah, anymore. Right. What are you looking at over there, Corey? I see you.
You know,
who else is coming to Pine Knob?
We were kind of lucky.
Can you give me that list, Joel?
We were kind of lucky in that we grew up in a time when we could go see all the bands that we really liked for like $15 at the most.
Yeah, that's true.
And I grew up in the punk scene, so I could see 12 bands for $5.
Right.
Or a joint.
You know, we could go see Nirvana at St. Andrews before anybody cared.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's cool, but it is harder to go. You know why it's harder? Because concerts used to support albums.
That's true.
Now, it's concerts. But they
also, they do this thing where they charge more for the tickets to beat the scalpers, too. So they, you know, they'll just charge you in the case of Paul McCartney, $2,500 for the front row rather than giving that. That's a rare thing.
That's where they're making
their
money.
That's where they're making their money. But so the Springsteen thing, but I mean, I did pay $50 to see him at the Palace. God, I wish I could do that again.
Yeah.
Instead of having to drive to Wrigley Field and pay $100. And my girlfriend's going and she ain't paying for her fucking ticket. So I bought that too.
Right.
So you know what I mean? I'm kind of bummed in that way. But Wrigley Field, if it's a nice night, that should be pretty fucking epic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'll remember that. That's a good.
You got a good camera to
take with
you?
That's a good show. I'll probably just use my cell phone.
Joel now has
720. Oh, do you want to hook me up with the Canon? Do you trust me to ride the L with that?
Yeah, I do.
Thing? All right, maybe we'll work.
Joel now
out.
Has a new rider in his contract that he has to go to every Springsteen show within 300 miles.
So we talked about that. We actually talked about this on the last show. Yeah, I'm beating the.
All right, who am I going to go see?
All right, you could go. See
I have it. To go see every Emo Phillips show within 300 miles. So.
All right, well, you could start out in just about 2 weeks with, and he always kicks off DT. You know what I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about the one and only Eddie Money.
Oh. He's would back.
You? I saw Eddie Money. I saw Eddie Money in 1990. But literally, he kicks off every year at DT.
He's
Does
back.
He really?
Yeah. The fucker refuses to go away.
Eddie Money is
okay,
the first
I'm not,
show.
Not going
okay,
to
fuck
that one.
Fuck that. Would you like to see Drake?
No.
With J. Cole, Waka Flocka Flame, and a bunch of other assholes?
I did like Degrassi Junior High.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go see Drake.
Okay. Third day is June 3rd. I'm guessing that's Christian Rock.
No idea.
I don't know what that is. Okay. Saturday, June 9th is the music of the Who, but I don't even know what that is. It might be some Who
the music
tribute.
Of the Who.
Is it yeah. like a?
It maybe, could be a laser light show,
or like a symphony
be,
orchestra
it
doing
could
the
be
Who.
That. I think that there's a Who tribute coming to the Magic Bag, and I think I'm going to go to that if anyone wants to go.
See, that's what the Beach Boys is appealing because it's actually the real band. Okay.
All right,
as opposed, you know, instead okay. of
June 16th, Brad Paisley with band Perry and Scott McCree. That's country. You're
no,
not going
that's
to that.
Not okay. going to that.
The Gang of Outlaws featuring ZZ Top and Three Doors Down.
I'm not going to okay. that at all.
Here's one
this
for
is, wow. no
I got
one
a good
coming.
Show for old guys. You're an old guy.
All right.
Don't take offense to that. Ted Nugent with Styx and REO Speedwagon. Anybody popping on that one? No. Okay, let's move along here.
I am
right.
not. No, okay, go ahead.
Toby Keith with
nope.
Brantley Gilbert. Nothing.
Nope.
Okay, Saturday, June 30th, the Beach Boys.
Maybe. That's okay. the only one
Would you
so
want
far
a meet and greet VIP package, Corey? Did you price those yet?
Fucking shit.
Okay, let me tell you what these cost. Maybe here's the thing. If anybody wants to, you can contribute to the buy our lunch, our yeah, PayPal. Go to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Let's see how much the VIP meet and greet is for Corey.
I don't even want him. Like, Mike loves a dick. I don't even want to meet him. I'm like, you know.
Let's see. The ultimate VIP. One reserve ticket in the front row. Meet and greet with members of the Beach Boys. Personal photograph with the Beach Boys. Special access to Beach Boys sound check. Specially designed tour shirt. Blah, blah, blah. That's the highest level of package. The next level is one reserve ticket in the first five rows, meet and greet with the Beach Boys. So it looks like that's just a cheaper. It's a
and what are those running?
A little farther away. I don't know. I'm going to get the whole price. Let's see. Buy now. Okay. Let's see. They're sold out in Bethlehem. You can buy now. I'm trying to see. Boy, that's every city on their tour here.
They're sold out?
June, no, but I got to find the Detroit ones. They're sold out. But let's say I wanted to go to Milwaukee and get the VIP package. Let's see what it would cost me. Okay, that's not bad. Front row plus meet and greet is $400.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's
and
not
then
bad.
And then $300 to sit in the last in the next five rows.
That's not bad at
that's
all.
That's not bad. You could that's doable. I mean, I'm paying $125 for Springsteen.
Yeah.
I might look, I don't have it. But I would try to find a way for if there was a $400 Springsteen meet and greet
yeah.
photo package, I might do that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, if they told you if they told you for $400 you could sit in the front row
of Springsteen, sure.
Get a picture with Bruce.
Yeah.
And a little meet and greet.
Yeah, I'm in.
You'd pay $400.
You got my money. Yeah, yeah, you got my money. Yep, yeah, $400 at DT. So anyway, yeah, okay.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing. Bruce does a pit. Bruce does general admission for his shows now.
Oh, he does.
So basically, you get a wristband. They draw numbers. The first 300, I think, in the arenas get to be in the pit. And so you can be front row. And that's good. And those are only the basic. Those are the same price as the tickets I got.
Well, that's good.
But they sold out. I couldn't
right.
get those.
I'm doing a $10 meet and greet with Urge Overkill.
I did a free meet and greet yeah, at a Coney Island.
John does it for free at yeah. the fucking Comic-Con.
I did one at a Coney Island I'm over sure by my did. House. I did creepy Coney Islands.
Do you want any more? Do you want to see
did
me?
You do the, this is, are you going to do another weird breakfast?
I might do another weird breakfast, but I just did weird dinner, which was creepy, Coney,
John
creepy
did a,
Coney Island.
John did a weird breakfast. In,
how many people show up
like
for the creepy
I showed
Coney.
Up.
Well, for the breakfast, first of all, I showed up an hour late.
What, did you get drunk the night before?
No, I just forgot I did it. And I think there were two or three people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the creepy
for about
Coney Island.
Minutes, it was me and John.
Yeah. The creepy Coney Island, I think there was like a dozen people.
Oh, okay.
Up.
And do you all sit at the same table? How do you work
yeah,
that
we
out?
Put a big table together in the middle of a 24-hour Coney Island. Everybody talked about weird shit.
All right. Well, that's fun. I could see that. All right. You want to see Neil Diamond? He also has VIP packages.
I would almost go to Neil Diamond.
Def Leppard is there. They also have VIP packages for Def Leppard.
I'd go to Tom Jones.
Poison is with Def Leppard, by the way. Does that change anyone's opinion?
No, not at all.
Okay. Dave Matthews Band. We could all say fuck that. Okay. Foghat with Fabulous Thunderbirds and Canned Heat.
No fucking way.
Do they got a VIP package for that?
They do not.
Oh, of course they
don't. I think you can meet them at the Coney.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens with them. Okay. Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. That's for black people.
That is for the blacks.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. July 15th, Santana.
How is that fucking?
My girlfriend really likes Santana, but I have a hard time. Nickelback with Bush and My Darkest Days.
Nope.
No one cares.
Wow.
Okay. Iron Maiden is July 18th.
I might go and see Iron Maiden.
We found something.
Do they have a VIP ticket for that?
No, they do not. Rascal Flatts with Little Big Town. No one's going to that. July 21st at DTE, Jim Gaffigan. Comedian Jim Gaffigan. Does anyone care?
Just Jim Gaffigan?
It looks that way. Just Jim Gaffigan.
Who's he? He's got an opener?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
Is there a VIP meet and greet?
Maybe. I don't know. I might be opening. I don't know.
What's his joke?
He's a very pale,
hot white comedian.
There you go.
Hot Pockets. That's gotcha. A joke. Motorhead with a meet and greet package.
Will you do that?
Oh, no. This is part of the Rockstar Energy Drink Mayhem Festival. Now, there's a Mayhem official VIP package and a Motorhead meet and greet. It's Slipknot, Slayer, Motorhead, Anthrax, and a bunch of other guys.
How much are VIP tickets for that?
Okay, you want the VIP. I'll get you the VIP. Hold on a second. Let me get you that. July 27th, The Temptations. I don't know who's in that anymore.
I think that's a hologram show.
Right. Again, there might be one Temptation left alive. The Beach Boys, there's like five of them all around, so that's good.
All right, let me get you this.
Would you really know if they just took a bunch of old black guys? But they're
$200. To go to the Mayhem, yeah. Now you don't get to meet Motorhead with that.
No, and you know that's a thing. Like,
but you're in the first 15 rows.
Do you know Bowser from Sha Na Na?
Yeah,
he's got a campaign where like there's a bunch of fake, like
Sha Na Na's?
The spinner.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It'll be like the Dramatics and the Platters. And it'll be like some fucking.
They did that. I saw that on like Dateline or something.
Right.
They went after
right.
These
like four guys will go to the Steve Harvey suit outlet. And show up and be like, we're the Dramatics.
Yeah, they said,
and then,
like
the real Dramatics will be in a nursing home.
Yeah, but they said,
and they'll go, fuck these guys.
I think it was the Platters or something. They sent one of the Platters with a vinyl album that he was on to the Platters show, which was at some county fair, and had the Platters sign the album. And he goes, you know, this, I'm on this album. And they're like, oh, and then it's guys in their 30s. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's this old fossil in the 60s. You know, I'm on this record here, and... It was very weird. It was cool that they
fake.
Yeah, I'm for that.
You get five black guys.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm for that. Yeah. All right. You want some more shows? Big Time Summer Tour with Rush, Cody Simpson, and Rachel Crow.
God, no.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Chicago and the Doobie Brothers.
I am interested in that.
August 1st. There, John.
I'm interested in that. That's
we
right.
We found one show John will go
to. How much
to.
Are tickets for that?
Let me find. Quickly, timing.
I would see the Doobies in Chicago.
Chicago, and they have platinum seats available, but if you want... you could go for as little as a $36.60.
I might pay $36.
$36.60.
Years ago.
There was an early bird lawn discount.
Which you want cooking some bacon?
It's $16.25. I got you a ticket for $16.25.
Joel, won't you buy me a ticket? Sitting on the lawn.
Oh, but wait a minute. But you know what? I'm not sure who's in the Doobies. Michael McDonald, I don't think he's in the Doobies anymore.
I don't want to see him then.
I think you get Skunk Baxter the other guy.
If there's no Michael McDonald.
Well, you get Skunk Baxter.
I need the Silver Wolf to be there.
All right, let me give it. All right, Sugarland, you don't care about. I think that's country. Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller. No one cares about that.
You know what I saw for like $10?
What's that?
B.B. King with Al Green opening.
That's real good. Yeah, that's
and, that, and I'm like, I went... Yeah. Fuck it, I might.
A lot of times they do. If you go to 7-Eleven, they'll usually have discount tickets for a lot of these. Okay,
and Al Green was good.
Yes, with Procol Harum on August 6th.
What?
Anyone interested in that?
You know the Zombies played a couple years ago.
Yeah, the Zombies.
I fucking missed.
Well, they played the City Fest.
Yeah, and I missed.
Yeah, I missed it too.
I saw Rare Earth there a few years ago.
Okay. Joe Cocker and Huey Lewis. Anyone interested in that double bill?
That's a strange double bill.
Yeah, it is a little strange.
Joe Cocker's still alive.
Huey's been doing like Broadway.
Okay.
What he's doing.
The Fray and Kelly Clarkson. Who gives a shit?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Here's a festival type deal.
Is there a big summer closer coming up?
Bare Naked Ladies with Blues Traveler, Big Head Town of the Monsters, and Cracker. No?
Absolutely no fucking
way. Yeah, I'm saying no way. Absolutely no way.
System of the Down with Deftones.
No.
No. See, that actually might be fun if you didn't have to sit there with other metalheads.
I think I've seen, of the aforementioned...
If I could go to that, yeah, I think Joel's right. If I could go to that by myself, it would be great.
With no, 311 and Slightly Stupid. Who gives a shit? All right, let's move along to... Okay, wait a minute. I have something here.
Are we in August?
The Dukes of September Rhythm Review. It's Dukes of September with Donald Fagen, Michael McDonald, and Boz Scaggs. Are you there, John?
The Silver Wolf.
Are you there?
Raises his head.
We need to know.
Boz Scaggs. Well, that's...
But see, yeah, Boz Scaggs is like...
All right, let me give you some... there's a few left here.
Right.
Toby Mack, whoever that is.
I don't know who that is.
Jason Mraz.
Ugh.
No.
This is a terrible...
Okay, September 5th, Kiss and Motley Crue.
Kiss?
Kiss and Motley Crue together.
No.
No.
Okay, and the last one is, no. I don't even know, Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan.
These are horrible, horrible venues.
You want to go to Springsteen or Wrigley Field with me?
I would much rather.
If my girlfriend bails out, we're going to go to Springsteen.
There's no wonder that huge arena, places like this don't succeed.
Well, I think they do succeed,
actually. You know, to me, the value is more in, I've gone to Lollapalooza several times.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
I think I'm a little over it now, but sure. I was glad I went. I went about 4 or 5 years when I was in Chicago.
Well, didn't you go to Lollapalooza? That's saying you did Lollapalooza in Chicago.
I covered it a couple times.
Yeah, you went to that. I'm saying, I was talking about the touring version.
I went to the touring Lollapalooza, too. Yeah. But in Chicago, I got to see Iggy Pop and like...
But would you pay the money to see that? Would you? I mean, you went as like press, but would
I
you?
Bought, no, I bought tickets 1 year.
Oh, did you buy tickets?
I covered it a couple times and then I bought tickets. Okay. And I think it was when I bought them, they were cheaper. They were like $75, and then it kept getting bigger and bigger.
It gets bigger and it gets more
expensive.
But
I saw Billy Idol and the Pixies and Weezer and all this shit.
Yeah,
and that was a good value.
Right, I think festivals, if they're reasonably priced, are good. I mean, I remember going to, back when I was a kid, I used to go to Reading in England, and I went to Glastonbury.
What's the most you'd ever pay for a concert?
See, I don't know.
And who would it be?
I don't know. Because it's funny. We'll go to see the Lions. I've paid like $85 to see a Lions game.
Jesus.
You probably weren't there with me when
you
it was
You and I used to go to a lot of
Remember
Lions
when we saw the Redskins beat the shit out of the Lions?
Yeah.
And we had those great field tickets on the thing.
Right.
Those, I think, were like $85. And that was probably the most expensive Lions ticket they had.
Did we buy those? Or
yeah, we bought
those?
No, we bought those. We were into it then.
But once in a while, Joel and I used to go to a lot of Lions games, and sometimes we'd get them from somebody.
You can go to the Lions for about $45-$50 if you want to sit in the cheap seats. So I go to that. So I don't know. I'm definitely the thing with Springsteen is you can buy scalper tickets because these Wrigley Field shows sold out, and I was lucky to get in on the date because there's two shows.
What if somebody said?
Well, let me just explain this Wrigley thing. They sold out. So the first one sold out, and I tried to get the StubHub tickets. And it was so much money to sit really far away. So I got in on the actual sale of the second show. So I paid the regular rate and I got a good seat.
Right.
But if I had to pay, like right now, scalpers are charging $400 to sit in the seats that I bought for $120.
Right.
And I think that might be too much for me.
What if I told you?
Yeah.
I'm going to create a scenario.
Yeah,
here.
Please do.
What if I told you that at the State Theater?
State Theater.
One night. First, somewhere in the first four rows on the floor.
Okay.
Paul McCartney's playing a show.
Sure.
Ringo's playing drums.
Yeah. How much will you pay?
$700.
Danny Harrison on guitar.
Yeah, I don't know.
$700.
$700?
One night only.
Have they done that where the Suns all tour?
No, the Suns don't. They've talked about it, but I don't think the Suns. I think they all got
something. $700.
Okay, here's the thing. If I could get together the $700, I would go. Here's the problem. I can't buy a ticket for my girlfriend at that price.
Right.
So if somebody else is going, they're paying their own way, is what I'm saying. Because my girlfriend
But you'd pay $700 to see Paul McCartney and Ringo.
I think I'd have to. How could I not? How can you not?
I'm just saying.
Would I pay to sit in the back row of Comerica Park or somewhere? Probably not. But I might pay $200. But when you're talking four rows,
you guys have convinced
at a
me. I now have to go to the stupid. Beach
you have
Boys.
To go to the Beach Boys. It was like $30.
Really do.
You got
to
go.
You really do have to go
because you're right. They won't be alive next year.
They're not going to be alive.
No, it's good.
There's going to be
they're barely alive now.
The next time they're on television, it's because it'll be a tribute show to whoever dies this
and
year.
And by the way, the Beach Boys now, if you see them, you know, you used to go see the Beach Boys and there'd be four guys up there.
Yeah.
There's 25 guys in the Beach Boys
now.
Well,
that's a big band.
But it's a big band and stuff. Springsteen has a 16-piece band now, so he's
Well, you know this story,
well, you know,
too.
For years, the Beach Boys were touring separately.
Right, like, they were.
It'd be like Bruce and Al are going out, and then Mike Love's got his own show. Yeah.
I don't know. You probably remember this story, but when I went and saw Frankie Valli, I saw him at... It was Pine Knob.
Pine Knob at the time, yeah.
But he had like 72 guys
on
stage.
Well, he's got a big band.
And they had one big screen behind him.
Yeah.
And he was... I just wanted to tell everybody out there, these guys behind me, they remember Spaghetti Night down in Brooklyn. And Rennie says that the camera was on the keyboardist, who was like a 23-year-old Hawaiian guy. But he had told this story so many times.
These musicians have been with him since the beginning. Yeah.
Right. He didn't
the Copacabana.
He didn't realize he got 21-year-old Hawaiian playing keyboards.
I always love when it's PBS Pledge Week and they bring out the doo-wop stars.
Yeah, the doo-wop shows.
And you're like, how are these guys all alive?
I know,
who are these guys?
They're not. They fill them in with...
Right.
With
guns. Yeah.
James Brown was like that, where he had the Soul Generals.
Yeah.
And like James would go sit down in the oxygen tent for a couple minutes.
Oh.
And then they just jam. Let the Soul Generals jam.
Well, I've got the story on that. Last year at the Gathering of the Juggalos, I got to personally escort George Clinton.
There you go.
And I had George Clinton in my golf cart, and I was driving him around and was up and escorted him to the stage and took him off the stage and hung out with his whole band. And, you know, there's a couple guys that have been with him for a long time, but most of the guys have left. The guys that, you know.
Right.
Bootsy Collins, and who's the other guy? Bernie Worrell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys aren't with him anymore, and it's a bunch of, like, young guys. And, you know, there's, like, a lot of white guys, too. A lot of, like, hippie-type guys.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're the P-Funk All-Stars, and George is up there. And, like, you know, one of the other guys, like, sings all of George's parts. I mean, George sings, too, but...
Right.
If George wants to walk away from the microphone, the song will keep going. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like, George is there to sing. I'm not saying George doesn't sing. George sings, but... If George
he's earned the right to walk away.
If George wants to sit on a chair, George sits the fuck down and the show goes on. It doesn't matter, right? So that's what goes on with this people.
Yeah.
And it's funny because George comes off the stage and he gets in my golf cart. And so I'm sitting there with George, remember, you know, and George, and the whole band comes off the stage. And one by one, like 15 guys, they all shake George's hand. Great show tonight, George. Thank you for having it. And that's the whole thing. It's just a whole, it's like they're the employees.
Wow.
Right.
And they just, and George does nothing. And
wow.
It's like he's, but they, you know, you can't do that without him,
right?
You
right.
know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, you can completely do it without him. You could do it without him easily.
But he comes out.
But you can't
do it without him.
Yeah,
there.
No one wants to see it without
him. Does he come out and fucking sing Atomic Dog, or what does he do?
Yeah, he does Atomic, he does everything. He does, you know, Turn This Mother Out.
But if he wants to go Atomic.
Yeah. Okay. The song will keep going.
Goes,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
it's
and it's like,
up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everybody, and you know, there's a giant alien smoking a joint that's on stage,
right.
And there's all these weird. But you know, the show is great and it sounds awesome. But you know, it's none of the guys made the record. But George, they trot George out,
and this is why they're charging $2,500 because they got to pay all those musicians.
Yeah, and it's like they got 50 guys
again,
and they're all high. And
Jim Gaffigan's got the best deal there.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan. Because
Jim
Gaffigan right.
walks out, and it's fucking him. And there's nobody in a diaper.
Yeah.
There's nobody playing a timpani.
He's got an opener.
No, but he's got, I'm saying, he's got two guys.
Yeah.
It's
right.
his fucking P-Funk right. All-Stars. It's 30.
Right. It's 30
it's
guys.
35 fucking
it's
musicians.
It's two tour buses
right?
worth of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah it is.
You got,
yeah.
It, yeah.
But I think
how much, you know how much of weed, the weed
no,
budget
those
is
guys
for the
are so high.
All-stars? Yeah.
And they're all eating turkey legs that they bought at the concession stand. And they're literally smoking, I'm literally there, and I'm smoking, they were great guys, but
right.
I mean, you know, it's like, and I was even talking to the one guy, and I go, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm George's second voice.
Uh-huh.
That's what he told me, that's what his job was. He goes, you know, I sing the parts that, you know, George.
You back him up.
Yeah, right. That George can't do anymore, doesn't want to do, and I sing.
You know? I've told this story on the show before, but you know what, if you're still listening at this point,
yeah.
fuck yourself.
Yeah, we're 8 hours into the show,
yeah.
so if you...
Snoop Dogg has an entourage that he
oh,
rolls
my God,
with.
Yeah.
And I can't, I mean, because I was doing interviews, and I've interviewed Snoop 3 times.
Yeah.
And I was at the Four Seasons, and I was waiting for the elevator, and Snoop and his whole crew, and he's got about, like, 12 people in the elevator with him, you know, Uncle Junebug and Poke Poke and Ray Ray, and, you know, and yeah, I think Lil Wayne was in there. It was like
yeah.
11 guys come out of the elevator in a cloud of fucking weed smoke. And there's these Alta Cockers. There's like an old couple there, you know, from, you know, Schenectady or whatever. And they go, and he turns to his wife and goes, Mildred, Snoopy Dog. I've seen everything. It's Snoopy Dog. Look at this. And a fucking cloud of weed goes down the hall like Pigpen from the Peanuts. Just a cloud of smoke. Yeah.
So that's what these shows are. And that's what the Beach Boys is. So you go and, you know. But I think you got to go. You can't not go.
No, I guess I'll
You can't not. Yeah, my friend.
Go. I'll be interested to see how many, like, middle, you know, I'm now old.
Oh, that's going to be old people, too.
But I'm wondering how many, like, hipsters will be there.
There'll be some, but there'll be less than you think.
Oh, there'll be
there'll be less than you think. Because I know from going, I went to Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band and stuff, thinking that might be that Paul McCartney. Well, you know, it's a mix, but it's mostly old people. Springsteen was old people.
I remember seeing, I saw a Tin Machine.
Yeah.
And this was 1992, maybe, whatever. I don't know, when was that?
Yeah.
And I remember being like, who are all these old fucks?
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of like 40-year-old people.
There were guys who went to Bowie and
stuff. And there were like ladies going, Ziggy!
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm going, I thought they were old then.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go to the Beach Boys and it's going
to
be.
No, you're
going
to go to the Beach Boys and it's going to. And there'll be the hipsters, but it's going to be way old.
It'll be
people.
Like Sign of the Beef Carver exploded.
The Springsteen,
all over that.
But you know what? Was old.
There will be hipsters there, but you know what? Going, wearing Beach Boy shirts, listening to the Beach Boys, and appreciating the Beach Boys is easy to do for hipsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to DTE to see them.
Yeah, that
you'll
might
get
be
some,
more.
You'll
than,
get
yeah.
some that'll show up, but the majority of them will be, I'm too busy to
yeah,
go.
That,
I can't
yeah,
do
they're
it.
They're going to be like, eh, I don't want to see
old people will go out there.
Yeah, there'll be old people there. But I what was I going to tell you that story about? Oh, fuck, I had a good story, too.
It wasn't that good.
No, it was pretty good. It was actually, I was going to tell you, it's Springsteen, because I'm in this line at the Palace to get in, right, for Springsteen. And I counted, and between there and when I was sitting, because I showed up at the ticket time, and of course, Bruce has no opener, so he just comes on an hour after.
Right.
The ticket's at 7:30, comes on at 8:30.
He does a three-hour show. How can he have an opener?
And then he does, so anyway, I counted. I think there was 9 black people at the Springsteen show. I think I counted that. 5 of them are in the band. So that's the number that if you want to know who's, you know,
That makes sense.
There's some
background
vocalists.
Now we're in hour 4 here. I think it's about time.
No, we're at 2 hours and 15 minutes. I think it's time to wrap it up.
Time to
say goodbye. But
today's special secret safe word is, John, you can, we do this now when we do long shows. If you listen to the whole show, just send
you
us
get
this
a secret word.
Oh.
John, and the fans can check in.
What is today's secret word?
The secret word today is Mothman.
Mothman.
All right.
All right, so if you check in with Mothman, leave a comment on joelradio.net. Right on the front page, you can just leave a comment, say Mothman.
Or call 610-552-0746.
Right.
The D-Bag Hotline.
Win a big prize.
Or you can go to the Beach Boy show at DT and just yell out Mothman.
Do they win a big prize if they say the special
word? Go to
the
top of the... Yeah, what do they win? What are we giving
them?
I'll give them a Tenny Creeps Me Out t-shirt.
All right, good. I have one of those.
How's
those
that?
Are neat. I
I've
like
got
those.
One.
Yeah, okay.
We need some merchandise.
That's what they get. They get a Tenny Creeps Me Out t-shirt.
All right, cool. Let us know.
Mothman. Maybe we'll throw in some candy.
You have candy? I don't know what
We'll get an old the candy that's too good for kids.
We have Toffee Fae for people? Maybe we do. All right. Well, John, I want to thank you for hanging out with us
today.
It's
always my pleasure.
Fun.
When's the next It's a Cartoon Show segment going to be available?
Every Saturday, It's a Cartoon Show comes out.
Or until
I run out of... until I don't want to
do you have enough
anymore.
Public domain cartoons?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Until Professor Z's wife puts the clamp down on the...
Yeah, that's already started.
We might have Professor Y soon or something. Or
Professor C. Maybe a new star.
Professor J.
Just the whole thing's me.
Yeah. All right, John. Yeah. But anyway, go check that out. Thank you, John. And I want to let people know we're going to finish our fall TV predictions. I think those are all in. That'll be our next show. I think we're going to have our friend Matt McClary back for that.
Matt was on the road this week.
And we're going to figure out who won the fall TV predictions. You predicted what shows would get canceled.
It's very exciting.
How long they would last, all that stuff. And
I wish the Celebrity Apprentice would get canceled.
Yeah, please.
Give me a life, my
life. No, it's on the fall. Here's what I saw on the schedule. It's on the schedule for 1 hour.
Yeah.
In the spring of next
year. Well, it went to 2 hours because they were like,
they had nothing else. Yeah, but apparently they got some new drama on for Sundays after Sunday Night Football. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. Go to joelradio.net. Check out It's a Cartoon Show. That'll be up there. And all kinds of other
John, when are you hunting Bigfoot?
I don't have... Bigfoot hunt is... there's another one scheduled, but I don't think it's till like November.
Now, do squatches prefer...
Don't, please don't say that.
Did a squatch
don't
prefer...
say that word.
Please.
Please.
You're making a mockery of please. The Sasquatch.
Is the Yeti like a...
Please. Do I go on stage at your clubs and act unfunny like you?
Hold on. Do they like Jack Link's beef jerky or do they like Slim Jims? What are they really into?
All right.
No response. Right.
Oh.
Yes.
How dare I?
All right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Maybe they can win one of those. Should we give that away on the show?
Give one of those.
I don't know, Joel Fragamenti passport photo.
I don't know what kind of a prize that is.
Yeah, I'll give away a passport photo. That's what I look like in 5-year engagement. No glasses.
Then they'll send that in. They get a passport.
They'll get the passport. Gotta they can some, pretend they're me.
It's such a Clark Kent moment where you're like, my glasses are off. Whoa.
Look.
Oh, man, my God. You never
I need
know.
To see your face without glasses so I can recognize you in the movie.
Take a good look,
there
John.
You go.
Look for this.
What a handsome man.
Do you want me to wear my gray hoodie, which I'm wearing?
No,
in the, I think
no,
wear
no,
my
no.
blue hoodie.
No, I don't want you to get it shot.
All right, 5-year engagement.
Mothman.
I got that. That was good.
Thank you.
Go check that out and check out everything John Tenney's doing. And, of course, stoolradio.net. We'll catch you next time, everybody. Good night.